It's Friday!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go, off and running for the final broadcast of July 2021 here at the Horn. And it is the 30th day of July. If you'd like to be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the live broadcast, you know, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, well, run on over to headon.live. And if you've never done so before, feel free to pick out a screen name and a password. If you have done so before, well, just use the old one if you still remember what it was. Not say it, just say it. Either way is fine by me, but if you do, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, is still not folding space because there's no genius in the folding space into something that's 100 degrees or more. That's just not right. So, anyway, it is Friday on the front porch. Yay! And here in about an hour, you can use the button there at headon.live, right there at the top of the page, and it'll carry you over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table that we use and gather around each and every Friday to cuss and discuss whatever is on folks' minds, and whereat Sparky occupies the seat of honor. Yes, having moderated the discussion for oh so very long. Let's see, hi, I'm Robin, I think I did that. Yeah, okay, good, we got that covered. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, let's see, I got a message there. Thank you very kindly. Thomas says loud and clear on FYINation.com. Thomas is doing a new show, and it will be on at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time right after this one closes. Check it out. Check it out. Let's see here. Every program here begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so that means we say thanks to our 30th day of the month subscribers. And that means, thank you very kindly to all of our Patreon subscribers. We thank our Patreon subscribers on the last broadcast day of the month, simply because that's the way Patreon bills stuff. Go figure. At any rate, though, thanks very kindly to Dave and the Blind, and thank you, Janice, and thank you, David in San Diego. Thank you so much to Eve. Thank you. Thank you to Rico in the Blissful Berg. Thank you to Katie, and thank you to Mark, Uncle Smokey. Thank you to Steve. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you so very much. Dear Bernadette, who developed the awe-inspiring Prees Trees salve for what ails you. Thank you to Irwin in Montana. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, John in North Dakota. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Oak. Thanks to Dave, number 11. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Baltimore Bob. Thank you, Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego. You know, we've almost got enough San Diegans for a little mini horn in there. Thank you to Kat. Thank you, Kat, so very much. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you to the Nubian. Thank you, Carl. Thanks, Barb in Minnesota. Thank you, Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Terrace in California. Thank you, Fab. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thanks to all of our Patreon subscribers for being partial sponsors of the program and making sure that this program can, in fact, remain on the air. Thank you so, so very much. It's why this program exists, plain and simple. You know, I really, really do hate the air conditioner sound. Let's see if this, how much this messes with the audio of the program. Yeah, see, that helps a lot. But you're going to get that breathing effect. If it turns out to be too bothersome, let me know, and we'll go back to the, I'll just turn the noise gate off. But the roaring just really, really gets to me. And I like to mute the microphone when I'm talking to, when I'm in conversation. And I'm told it can be a little annoying with the on-off of the air conditioner roar. The only difference being there's just no way to get along without the air conditioner in here because, it wasn't as brutal today. It's only 75 degrees in here, so it's a little chilly for naked radio, but we'll get through. And that doesn't mean the radio isn't naked. 999, Brother Deacon Asa tells me, tomorrow marks a year since we lost our beloved Herb Cain to the Chinese Hong Flu, as he called it, and his compadres called it. Imagine how great America would have become had he won in 2012 and enacted his $5 foot-long taxation scheme. Alas, he's with Jeebus now. I know. Oh, so sad. So sad. 999, said Herb Cain, but America would not listen. Yes. Yes, indeed. I had a note from our pal Paul from Parts Unknown, who had promised us a note for this afternoon. And I wanted to make sure and share it with you. This is some of the best information that we get, and you only get it here at the Horn, because Paul from Parts Unknown takes enough time and has enough caring to make sure that he shares the information that he has with the rest of us. Writing again during a quick lunch break, Paul says, no update yet from the company. Usually they send it out in the morning, but nothing yet. Typically, when they send it out later in the day, it means that major changes are coming. When I sent out the email on Wednesday, part of me was worried that I was overreacting. However, what happened yesterday proved me right. We get tested for COVID at the site every Wednesday and get the results on Thursday. I tested negative, fortunately. But someone in my building did not. We had one positive test, and that person was vaccinated. The contact tracing also identified two other people who had close contact with the positive person. All three are vaccinated, and all three have been quarantined. At the moment, none of them are showing symptoms. This is our first positive COVID test since early May. It is getting to people who are trained to avoid it. Be careful out there, Horn community. I'm taking no chances with an unvaccinated child at home. I will ride over the weekend with the new isolation protocols that I'm sure will come at the end of the workday today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Paul from Parts Unknown. That's chilling indeed, especially in light of the news that came out regarding regarding internal data circulating at the Centers for Disease Control. Namely, that the Delta variant of COVID-19 is every bit as spreadable, that is, as contagious, as the chicken pox, as the mumps, which are measles, which are incredibly contagious, airborne and viral as well. And for all of those jackasses out there running around saying, well, you know, I don't know about taking that vaccine, and I don't want to be no part of no experiment. You stupid bastards, you're part of the control group now. Holy crap. Yeah, go figure. Okay, I don't think you should be hearing Mike Malloy on either of the streams, Ron and Raleigh. Ron says, I'm hearing you and Mike Malloy at the same time. Might you have another player open? Unless other people are telling me they're hearing the same. Let me just check real quick and make sure. No, not there. Nobody else reporting that, Ron. You might have an open player that you don't realize is open or hasn't closed properly, my guess. But what Paul from Parts Unknown reports is chilling. It's not happening there for Sparky, and it's Roger in Oregon says clean there. That is, I mean, if you are of an age, if you are older or old enough to remember a time before there was a chickenpox vaccine, you know how transmissible that is. It is almost impossible to avoid. I don't know who. I got chickenpox in second grade. God, it made me sick. And I don't, to this day, I don't know who gave it to me. Just one of my fellow second graders, as it roared through that little elementary school, like it did in elementary schools all over the United States. We've got a vaccine for that now, and a lot of children take it. I'm still flummoxed by this idea of, well, I don't want no vaccine passport, you dumb bastard. You had to prove your shot record in order to get into kindergarten, you moron.
Freedom.
It's a breathtaking level of stupidity. But it is going to spread like wildfire, and apparently there are breakthrough cases, and vaccinated people do die. But they don't die at the rate that the unvaccinated do. You know, like 99 out of 100 of every severe cases is an unvaccinated person. And just by way of taking a look at bad headline writing, you know, for some reason or another, it's kind of like a tick with me. The story comes from Agence France-Presse. And the headline reads, and say, maybe it's me, but I can't make heads or tails out of this. Risk of vaccine-resistant variants highest when most jabbed, study. Maybe I should include all the punctuation. Risk of vaccine-resistant variants highest when most jabbed, study. Jabbed, study. And what the body of the story says is that, that reads like freaking Minoan linear B. Or A, whichever one it is that we haven't translated yet. And probably never will. Now, when you go down into the body of the story, they say, relaxing restrictions like mask wearing and social distancing when most people have been vaccinated greatly increases the risk of vaccine-resistant variants of the virus that causes COVID-19, new research showed on Friday. So it's actually not about what the headline says. Risk of vaccine-resistant variants highest when most jabbed. No. Relaxing restrictions like mask wearing and social distancing when most people have been vaccinated greatly increases the risk of new vaccine-resistant variants of the virus. Which sounds a little squirrely until you realize... It's the no masking and the no social distancing part, which has always been what made it spread. It just spreads even worse now with this variant. Europe has overtaken us. Nearly 60% of Europeans have received at least one vaccine dose. And what the researchers are trying to get at, and maybe this would have been the headline, maintain non-vaccination measures until everybody is fully vaccinated. Maybe that doesn't get the eyeballs onto the, that doesn't make the eyeballs make the fingers make the clicky on the mouth. I don't know. All over Europe, a team of scientists simulated the likelihood that a vaccine-resistant strain would emerge in a population of 10 million people over 3 years. They looked at variables like vaccination, mutation, transmission rates, waves of infection, falls in cases in response to lockdowns, all of that. And what did they find? Well, if you vaccinate everybody really quickly, the risk of a resistant strain emerging went way the hell down. But then they described the other finding as counterintuitive. The highest risk of resistant strains emerging came when a large proportion of the population was vaccinated, but not enough to ensure herd immunity, and not using masks and other and social distancing and other first line of defense measures. So I think the takeaway on all of this is you may be vaccinated, but you got a mask and you got a social distance. I don't know how to read it otherwise. And of course, what they're seeing is the Delta variant spreading like wildfire through Europe, and is spreading like wildfire here. So that's just one aspect of it all. By the way, I didn't mention the fundraising goal for this evening. It is $925. But there's good news that goes with that as well. And that is that Charlene wrote in and said, I'm offering a $150 challenge, call it what you like, and we'll add $25 more when it's met. So we've got $150 out there waiting to be doubled for this final broadcast of July 2021 and our desperate downhill run to try to finish July fully funded. If Charlene's challenge is met, we'll call it the, Robin's Health Insurance Premium Challenge. If Charlene's challenge is met, then I'll be able to make my health insurance premium. And it will mean that your 5 became 10, your 10 became 20, 20, 50, 50, 100, et cetera, up to $150. And the fundraising goal will then concomitantly decrease down to $600. And we will be much closer to being able to finish July, and I can pay those desperate bills. Yeah. So thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. And I wanted to share something else with you that came in from our buddy David in South Carolina. San Diego. Sorry. So many Davids, so many locations. David in San Diego said, Dearest Robin, I'm a truth seeker who discovered your highly informative and entertaining broadcast after you substituted for Mike Malloy a while back. Yesterday, I posted the requisite funds to the GoFundMe page in order to attend the Horn-In scheduled for the first weekend in June 2022. Although I'm a new member of the community you have so lovingly built over these many years, I haven't built it, everybody else has built it. Well, we've done it all together. And I've not actively participated in your weekly Fridays on the Front Porch. I do look forward to the possibility of meeting you and the longtime members of your community next year. I so hope that happens. And David has some logistical questions, which I will answer off air. David closes saying, thank you for everything you do to fight for our democracy. I wish you all the best. Well, the same The same goes back in pressed down and shaken together, and in magnificent measure. David, thank you so much, and thanks for vote of confidence in the horn in that you provided. Like I said, we've got four people who are signed on for the horn in, and that means we're off to we've got a good start going, and with any luck at all, we will we'll be talking about this all through August, maybe up into September. But the sooner we get to the sustainable level, the sooner I can start booking accommodations. Remember, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll get in on Thursday, then Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday's a getaway. For some, maybe it'll be Monday, and that's more than accomplishable if people want to get away on Monday. So, if you want to be part of the Horn Inn, and so far the commitments we have are from David in San Diego and Roger in Oregon, and Chris in Germany, and an anonymous individual. And hopefully, remember, there's 50 spaces, and the $1,000 covers either single or double occupancy, you and your partner, or you by yourself, whichever. And, you know, about room for about 50 people. And the more we get, the more likely it is that we can have special guests and things like that. Like I've said before, I've invited John Bridevo, I've invited the Malloys, Dr. Bill, Boss Man Wayne. I've invited Terry, our resident geologist. So all of that, and I think it's going to come together as a wonderful weekend. You know, biscuits and dirty gravy. Oh yeah, yeah. And the pulled pork and the brisket and the smoked turkey and, oh goodness gracious, fish fry. The entertainment, the conversation, the first ever in-person Friday on the front porch that Friday evening for people who want to participate. And wouldn't that be wonderful? So that's what's out there. And if you want to be part of it, just use GoFundBob. It'll go to my GoFundMe page, and just do the $1,000 and remember, fully half of this is going to go to throwing the party. And the other half is going to go to the rest of my dental stuff, and time that I may have to spend away from the microphone as a result of that and other issues. Then again, nine lives, 999. Joey writes, it certainly was nice to have Lucy Purr co-hosting the program on Wednesday. As we all know, cats have nine lives, and speaking of nine lives, on this day in 1967, an accidental rocket launch on the deck of the supercarrier USS Forrestal in the Gulf of Tonkin resulted in a fire and explosions that killed 134 servicemen. Among the survivors was future Arizona Senator John McCain, a U.S. Navy lieutenant commander who narrowly escaped with his life. Love him or hate him, that man survived a lot during his years in the military while serving his country, including the days he spent in the Hanoi Hilton. He could have used his privilege to leave his POW status because he was the son of an admiral, but he remained a POW for 5 years and continued to deal with a great deal of torture. Some people believe that Jeffrey would be the one to bring this one up, that John McCain had nine lives, no, not because he survived Vietnam, but because he became a POW after he came home from the war. Yes, John McCain's real POW moments were following his military days, when his real POW status emanated as he became a parent of war while trying to raise that little she-devil daughter of his, better known as Megan Lucifer McCain.
While John McCain... Oh, it's Junior. While John McCain never used his privilege or status during the war, his daughter, our little Nutmeg, sure used her privilege to become part of the View and start wars every day with everybody.
Well, good job, Junior. Junior's getting the hang of this rather quickly. On the other hand, the antithesis of John McCain was George W. Bush, who on this day in 2003 actually admitted the intelligence for the Iraq War was basically bullshit. Yep, W. The W stands for war criminal. The coward who skipped out of Vietnam and could not even handle the Texas Air National Guard, the Champagne Unit. W entered the reserves upon the Air National Guard upon his family's privilege and conveniently went MIA, or more like AWOL, from two units, one base in Texas and the other in Alabama. However, on this day in 2003, W took personal responsibility for the first time for using discredited intelligence during a press conference, but he predicted that he would be vindicated for going to war against Iraq. Well, W, so far I really don't think you've been vindicated for anything in your days in office or anywhere else. You were no John McCain, for that matter. As president and a human being, you were really truly a no-show. Nobody. Nine lives? Hell, you've had no lives, at least in terms of accomplishments as a person or a president. 999 on all cylinders. Yeah, good one, Jeffrey. And as an aside, Joey notes, every Friday I talk with the CFO of Gojo, one and only Carrie Jarosz. Carrie told me that she had applied to both Harvard and Princeton before being accepted at Brown of the Ivies. At that moment, I thought of both George W. Bush and Meghan McCain, both of whom managed to use their privilege to attend the Ivy League schools of Yale and Columbia, respectively. I mentioned to Carrie a while back that we all know that W. did not possess the acumen to be admitted to most junior colleges, let alone an Ivy League university. So just like George W. Bush stole the presidency, he also stole the opportunity for some deserving student to matriculate through Yale because W. obviously did not belong there. So I asked Ms. Jarosz, point blank, who do you think stole your rightful place at either Harvard or in Princeton? Because obviously you should have been there. I think I scored some points with that one, Joey says. Oh, by the way, Carrie Jarosz was not to be denied because following her graduation from Brown, she was admitted up to Harvard Business School where she received her MBA. And we'll leave out what I usually think MBA stands for at Harvard. Jeffrey wraps things up. W was actually admitted to Harvard Business School. What the hell was Harvard thinking? Because they had no business doing that one. 999. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday on the Front Porch, the 30th day of July, 2021, with Giraffrey wishing for Junior to be the first giraffe admitted to the Upper Ivies.
I'd love that.
And there's a $10 Upper Ivies challenge on the table, courtesy of Joey and Giraffrey. That's fantastic. And by the way, P.S., Bernie's in town, and Jeffrey and I are going to see him tonight. I'll send a picture to the front porch. Great, we'll look forward to seeing that. Joey, that's wonderful. And by the way, lest anybody think, Brown is no slouch. In fact, of all the Ivies, I mean, I think the one I might really have enjoyed the most, I've said before, my Latin professor studied at Brown. It would have been fun to go there and study the classics. And isn't that in Rogue's Island? Isn't it? So let's not be downing Brown. It's an impressive damn place. Damn sure rather go there than, oh, I don't know, Dartmouth. Ugh. Mm-hmm. So, let's see, that means there's $160 in challenges on the table. And if that's all met, we will be well along the way toward, hopefully, my, health insurance premium. A couple of things. Wow, it turns out I was right. Ron and Raleigh says, weird, I did have another player, which was playing both streams. When I shut it down, it stopped the overvoice. I know. The only reason I thought that might be happening is because I can't tell you the number of times it's happened to me, Ron. It's just bizarre. You think you've turned it off? You haven't turned it off. As to the Delta variant, Jeremy noting with tongue implanted firmly in cheek, but COVID is just under 6,000 years old. It came from the flat earth and killed the dinosaurs, which we rode to work on in the early mines. We know this because on the hollow moon, we discovered it with an AIDS test, and the creator then was killed to hide the fact that it's just like the flu. Wake up, sheepo! That is some first-class 21st century gibberish, Jeremy, and hence the cowbell. And there it is. Joey and Giraffrey, apparently Junior couldn't make the trip. Maybe he's too young. There at the venue, behind a Nina Turner for Congress banner, and Bernie is coming in support to speak in support of her candidacy this evening there in Ohio. Ah, good. Thomas said the stream's perfectly fine there. Helpful. Yes. Let's see. Where else before we get into some other things? Lee in New York. George W. George W. is trying to cover up his failures with a fresh coat of paint. Remember pictures? Yeah. Remember how after he left the White House, he took to painting self-portraits of himself standing in the shower? Yeah, there went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone here for this Friday on the front porch. You're going to have that. Yeah. That St. Louis County Council meeting that we played the I played the audio from the other night where they were hooting and barking and grunting about how happy they were that the mask mandate had been withdrawn in the middle of a in the middle of a variant spreading that's killing the unvaccinated with real determination, real vigor. There's an addendum to that story. The new county health officer who attended that meeting that evening. Okay. Trying to raise the story now. The new county health officer was subjected, well, he lost his temper, frankly. Dr. Faisal Khan is the county health officer for St. Louis County, the acting health director, and it caused quite a stir because on the way out of the room, he flipped off one of the maggots, one of the mask hole COVIDiots, and he did so because they were screaming racial and ethnic slurs at him. And one of the one of the maggots that sit on that council tried to whip up anti-immigrant sentiment against him. Are you a physician in the United States of America? And where'd you come from? He politely said, India. And they made fun of his accent, mocking him with the, you know, the now, you know, you know, Harry Shearer says he wants nothing to do with it ever again because he realized it was hurtful. You know, the Apu character from The Simpsons. And, you know, I'm guessing that every one of the people who mocked that academic's accent would be absolutely helpless in so much as finding the toilet in any of the several languages that obtain upon the Indian subcontinent. And I'm not using India as a nation here. I'm saying the Indian subcontinent because that's even more languages. You can start in Pakistan with Pashtun and the variety of languages there down through the various dialects of Hindi and work your way over into Bangladesh. And not one of those maggots can say so much as howdy damn do. But they hated him because he's smart. and they hated him because he talked about how maybe dropping the mask mandate in the middle of a goddamn pandemic that spreads as fast as chickenpox might not be the smartest thing in the world to do. Cool. We've got a potential new friend hanging out this evening. Just got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. My beautiful niece Melissa is here and listening with me to your program as we're working on cleaning out old paperwork in my office. I'd love it if you could do a shout out to Melissa on air. Hi, Melissa. It's awesome that you're visiting your auntie, and glad to have you be part of the program this evening. And thanks for helping out your auntie with. Oh God, I hate clearing out old paperwork. Jesus, I hate it so much. And I'm probably not putting my best foot forward this evening in terms of all the unpleasant language. Sorry. Melissa just told me that Bernie came to her school, the University of New Hampshire, during the campaign, and it was right after that when he had his heart attack. Jeez, seems like so long ago. It does, but he's, you know, he got the intervention that he needed, and his heart is probably beating better than it was before his heart attack. Good. So, hi, Melissa. Enjoy the time. And please, for God's sakes, stay safe and do everything you can to make sure that this thing doesn't touch you. That's just a little public service announcement from the horn. Welcome, Melissa. Welcome. Jack in Shreveport says, air conditioner noise? I'm not bothered at all by your air conditioner noise, but I know how hard it is to do your best listening with it in the background. I got a borrowed window unit in my room with the fan on high, trying to keep a bearable environment for me to work in and to keep my computer and electronics from overheating. That'll be here until my broken central air heat unit is replaced. Oh, my God. I mean, it gets kind of nasty here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Coal Manchinistan, but dear God, Shreveport, it's got to be like walking through a warm, wet mop. Hang in there, Jack. Hang in there. But at least with the noise gate on, it mutes some of the background noise a little bit and makes it a little bit more bearable. I know. I was appalled by that, too, Flavio. Flavio says, Dr. Khan's accent is impeccable. His English is impeccable. He hardly speaks like Apu. He even has a bit of a British accent. Jesus Christ, the good doctor had a lot of composure. I would have given them more than the finger. Unbelievable. The doctor's trying to save people who don't want to be saved, don't deserve to be saved because they're so stupid. I had chicken pox and the mumps as a kid, and I'm probably half blind and deaf on account of it. Oh, I know. Second grade was rough. I had chicken pox and the mumps, and then after getting over, I think, chicken pox, about 2 weeks later, I felt like crud again. And we went to the doctor, and they said, oh, well, that's because you've got measles, Robin. I had a great family doctor back then. He was one of those classics. And of course, my mom looked at him and said, but he had his vaccine. And he said, yeah, but I just got a bulletin saying there's a whole bunch of kids that vaccine didn't work on. It didn't work. So you got to ride this one out. I would have much rather have had the vaccine work, believe you me. And we're talking there about, 1970-71. We're a lot better at things like vaccines now. Measles was not a pleasant experience. The mumps wasn't, and of course when you get the mumps, everybody, especially when you're a boy getting the mumps, everybody says, well, you know, you got to make sure, because, you know, and there's all kinds of folk with, you know, well, you know, you can't make the glass. And you know, when you're 7, 8 years old, what the hell does it mean? Oh, you got to make sure the glands don't fall.
What?
I guess they didn't. I don't know. Okay, I don't feel so bad now. Darlene says, oh, don't worry about your language. Melissa's been hanging out with me, and you know me. I swear worse than a truck driver, so just be yourself. And Melissa got her second Fauci ouchie on Tuesday. Hooray, Melissa! Hey! Cowbell. Definite cowbell for second Fauci ouchie. And speaking of Dr. Fauci, well, you know, the 4G network, Gates, Gozer, Gohmert and Green. Yeah, they're still out there barking and grunting and hooting about, we got to put that Dr.
Fauci in prison. He's trying to keep people from dying and shit. And he's making everybody take them little liquid Bill Gates barcodes that's read by Bill Gates' 5G network. Mm-hmm. And got all them little 666s in it. You can't see it, but if you put it under... And they're the part that's magnetic. That's the part that makes you stick to the refrigerator when you walk by, is in little magnetic 666s in the vaccine. Yeah, I've seen it happen. I watched that Dr. Tenpenny, Ten Pot, what's her name? I watched her. She put a key right on her forehead, and it stood there for about a half a second, and then it falled off. Mm-hmm. Because she weren't vaccinated. Right. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey, we haven't talked about the man who's destroying democracy in a while. We've had a Joe Manchin sighting. You know, the senior senator from West Virginia who, you know, holds himself out as a Democrat. Sure. I know. Lee in New York says, there you go again, vaccines. There you go again, Robin. Trusting science and doctors. I'm sure some COVIDiots are still waiting until we have a century of data to learn about the long-term effects. Well, we do and we don't, okay? Here's one guy in particular. He wanted to wait and see what the long-term effects of the vaccine were, and he didn't get it. 39 years old, 5 kids. And right before they put the tube down his throat and horizontally crucified him, Michael Friede, a casino worker in Vegas, well, he sent a text to his fiance and said, "I should have gotten the damn vaccine." And then he died. The reason I mention the story is because of what Lee in New York wrote a minute ago, because it turns out that his fiance, Jessica Dupreez, she said that her fiance, Michael Friede, father of 5, wanted to wait just 1 year from the release of the vaccine to see what effects people had, but there was never any intention not to get it. You know, I really think that's subject to debate, don't you? Because if you're waiting at all, and you're not waiting because it's not available, you're manifesting a refusal to get it. So he was gonna go and get his Fauci ouchie on the 1 year anniversary of the very first person receiving the very first shot. Am I to understand that? Isn't that the functional equivalent of, you know, during a one of those right-wing domestic terror attacks that we suffer from in this country, where some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republican cuts loose with his freedom protector in a grocery store or a parking lot or a movie theater or a schoolhouse? Isn't that a little bit like saying, you know what, I'm going to wait until I know what the long-term effects of being shot with a high-powered rifle are before I think about putting on a bulletproof vest. Bang. Too late. Because ultimately you're refusing to put on the bulletproof vest when the bullets are
when the bullets are flying. Just got a note from Steve in New York. It's 5:43 p.m. on July 30th, 2021. Is the program live right now? It most assuredly is. Want to make sure. Yeah, okay, we're streaming live. Maybe it's because, well, this topic seems to be on us so damn near constantly. Yeah, it turns out that Michael Friede went to San Diego on a little trip and got a severe sunburn. And when he went to the emergency room with his severe sunburn, he had nausea and chills. And that's not at all surprising for a sunburn, but no, he tested positive for the Rona. So they sent him home and told him to isolate. And a few days later, he woke up in the middle of the night and he couldn't breathe and he couldn't walk. And they admitted him to the hospital with double pneumonia. And then they put the tube down his throat and they horizontally crucified him. His grieving fiancée, Jessica Dupreez, said, "I just kept telling him, you're going to get through this. You've got to come home to us. I was like, please keep fighting. Don't give in." He was like, "I'm trying to fight, but they're going to intubate me and put me under." And then he sent the fateful text, "I should have gotten the damn vaccine." 5 kids they have, 17, 10, 7, 6 years old, and 17 months. His fiancée, Jessica Dupreez, said, "He's only 39. Our babies now don't have a dad. You can't say I'm young and it won't affect me because it will. The love of my life, my rock, my everything, the father of my babies is no longer with us. I don't know what to do." How heartbreaking. How heartbreaking. What could she have done? That's not a rhetorical question. I'd like to have your answers. What could she have done? I guess he was going to work every day because, you know, they couldn't open up the gambling dens and the gambling hells fast enough during the lockdown. And people, oh my God, people flew to the to Vegas. And then the cell phone tracking kicked in, like we were talking about in yesterday's program. And we found out that they went to Vegas, picked up the Rona, and took it back all over the country. My heart breaks reading that story. Is she trying to say that he got the Rona in San Diego but not in Las Vegas? It really doesn't matter where you get it. And if it's the Delta variant and you're unvaccinated, you may very well be fucked. I hope Jessica Dupreez got the vaccine. So do I, because of those aforementioned 5 children. Good God. I mean, would it have helped if she'd said, "Baby, please. You're working in a casino. There's people from all over the country, and they're all it's like walking around, and somebody's got a bullet with your name on it," because it's true. You know, I don't know if you can smoke in the casinos anymore, but it's like that old World War I thing about 3 off a match. You never light 3. You never light 3 cigarettes from 1 match because the Huns would home their weapons in on you and drop a shell on your head if you kept a match lit that long. But he worked in gambling. And the house always wins. The only problem is, well, to extend the metaphor, I guess this is like knowing that you're playing blackjack and you know that the house has all the aces and all the picture cards, and you're not getting any of them. Because in this metaphor, the house is the Rona.
And like I said, there's two or three, four, I've seen five stories in a day like this on any given day. And just the proliferation of dickheads that have have caused us to, some of us at least, to really think about who our countrymen are. And we usually use the 1/3 to 40% number based on the outcome of a couple of presidential elections. And it's just the 2016 presidential election it told us something horrifying about that number of our fellow Americans. And then it just keeps getting highlighted and bolded and underlined and italicized. And so we have the story of an Olympic swimmer named Michael Andrew. The picture I have of him here, he's got a swim cap on with the name of a rather famous athletic swimwear company, TYR. I'm thinking if I was TYR, I would pull the endorsement at this point in time, because your company's being equated with a real asshole. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee allowed Michael Andrew to not even wear a mask at the Tokyo Aquatic Center where he's swimming on the U.S. Olympic team. Bear in mind that Tokyo is in the midst of a state of emergency as a result of COVID-19. Hell, China's dealing with a new outbreak thanks to the Delta variant. And you can probably say that the unvaccinated created the Delta variant, because the unvaccinated kept allowing people to use Paul from Parts Unknown's analogy. They kept letting the coronavirus buy lottery tickets to mutate. And hey, unlike us, the Delta variant hit the lottery. And so Michael Andrew has said, no, I'm not going to wear a mask, and no, I'm not going to get no goddamn vaccine. After he came in fifth, I guess there's at least some justice in all this, after he came in fifth in the men's 200-meter individual medley this morning, he showed up in the mixed zone where press interviews take place, and he didn't wear a mask. So they asked him, why are you not wearing a mask? Why are you making it worse for everybody here? Why are you... And I didn't know he had traveled there, but apparently Professor Spicoli is on hand.
You dick!
Yeah. He said, for me it's pretty hard to breathe in after kind of sacrificing my body in the water. So I feel like my health is a little more tied to being able to breathe than protecting what's coming out of my mouth. And see, and he's right, because even if he'd had a mask on, he'd said that, it still would have been stupid as shit, so stupid was coming out of his mouth.
I think that it's great that there's procedures, but at the end of the day, all of us here have been under quarantine and in the same testing protocol, so there's a level of safety that's comfortable when we're racing.
The press wasn't having any part of it, so they said again, no, really, why are you the only American not wearing a mask? I mean, I don't know if you saw the absolute joy of the young woman who won gold for USA Gymnastics. Her routine was spectacular. Simone Biles was in the stands just cheering wildly for her. It was a beautiful moment. And guess what? I'm guessing she finds it a little difficult to breathe, too, after sacrificing her. Let me know when swimming causes you to slam your midsection into a parallel bar, turn all the way upside down a couple of times, fly up a few extra feet in the air, do a few more flips, and then land on your feet.
I mean, it's kind of hard to breathe after kind of sacrificing my body in the water.
Guess what? When she came off the floor in this wonderful little video clip, she's wearing a mask after sacrificing her body. Time after time after time after time. In the vault, in the balance beam, in the uneven parallel bars, in the floor exercise. She's got a mask. Everybody's got a mask.
Michael Andrew, I don't know. I've been sacrificing the body, man. Anybody got a joint?
So why are you not wearing a mask?
No reason. I'll throw it on when I'm done here, but to speak, it's difficult. Probably people can hear me.
So he's been savaged on Twitter, as he damned well should have been.
He just wanted people to see his Hollywood movie star good looks, I guess.
And no, you know, it kind of amazes me to think about it. Given the number of people who have dragged Simone Biles for her decision to withdraw, I'm guessing
that none of those people said a goddamn word about the things that Larry Nassar did.
Oh, this country sometimes. Jesus.
So frankly, the fact that he kind of went to pieces and sucked in his event doesn't bother me in the least.
Wonder if he'll be like Michael Friede, because see, that's one of the things. The Delta variant is kicking the ass of really healthy young people. It's not like coronavirus 1.0,
where it mostly destroyed the lives of older Americans and Americans with compromising comorbidities. No, this variant's getting after people who are real healthy and they work out and they breathe a lot because it's got so damn many more particles and they're so much more easily spread.
So I wonder if he winds up like Michael Friede. Will Michael Andrew look up and say, well, like, you know, I wish I'd taken the damn vaccine, dude.
Ugh. I know. Oh, and I mentioned the 4G network, you know, Gozer. There is only so little Gozer, and it gates better, and Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball, and Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Well, when we went over the audio from their silly little stunt at the DC jail that they have no oversight over whatsoever. And in the aftermath of that, things didn't work out so well. Well, I mean, I'm not talking about for the 4G network. They don't give a good goddamn about anybody but themselves. But one court in addressing a case of the January 6th insurrectionist, this particular individual, it sounds like something from Idiocracy, Alex Harkrider. Now, he's a maggot from Texas. Don't mess with Texas. But he feels like he's being messed with. So he went whining and pissing and moaning into court. And,
he said he just wasn't happy with some of the conditions of his pretrial release.
He's from Carthage, Texas. Cartago de Linda Est, you know.
And he said, Judge, you got to let me take my ankle monitor off. Because I can't hardly afford the $110 that it cost me to be wearing this here ankle bracelet. And it's a physical hardship for me.
Now, bear in mind that this 34-year-old jackass is charged with theft of government property, obstruction of an official proceeding, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds with a deadly or dangerous weapon, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building with a deadly or dangerous weapon, unlawful possession of a dangerous weapon on Capitol grounds or buildings, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. Yeah. He'll probably get 15 hours of community service, poor baby. But, I'm thinking this is some bad lawyering. I mean, how do you not sit down with your client and go, Bub, do you see everything you're charged with? Can you cipher there? Can you do some ciphering for me, Alex? Because we can add up the potential maximum sentences, and then we're going to learn two big new words, consecutively versus concomitantly. If your sentences are served consecutively and you're found guilty on all of them, well, you know what? You're going to stay in prison for a long, long time. And I would not want to be pissing off the judge if I were you. At all. No. What are you thinking? You're going to go in there and whine to him? You're out. You're not in the jail.
Yeah, but I need that $110 to buy a lot of beer.
You're not supposed to be drinking. Yeah. Well, the judge heard it, and to the judge's credit, the judge did not say, you know, let's do take the ankle monitor off, and let's just send you to jail. No, instead, the judge cited the 4G network and their trespassing event at the jail as a reason to keep the requirements in place. You know, I'll tell you what, just don't pay the $110. And they'll come and get you, and they'll take the ankle monitor off. They'll take it away. And they'll take you away with the ankle monitor. What did he do, Alex Harkrider? Well, he had guns when he went to D.C. for January the 6th. He had a ballistic vest, you know, bulletproof vest. And he had a tomahawk axe. And he took it inside the Capitol with him. And, you know, raised hell. So the judge, in turn, said the 4G network were engaged in active political disputes over the insurrection, and that was a pretty good reason for keeping the pre-trial restrictions in place. Yeah, not, I don't know why I said concomitantly. Consecutively versus concurrently. Thank you, Flavio. Flavio serving as the ad hoc horn word-knowing department this evening. Frank asks, writing from Iowa, are we Americans in the midst of a democracy and disease demolition derby? Who wins and how do you tell? Well, those who survive, from an evolutionary standpoint. Oh, God, it looks like we've got some real fun going on in the chat part of the chat room this evening. It would have been nice, Ron and Raleigh says, if Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball, Little Miss Three Names, had been grabbed up and clapped in irons and thrown into the deepest, darkest hole they could find. Wishful thinking. This woman could be in Congress for the rest of my life. 72.6 years average lifespan. to a black man in the greatest country on earth. I know. Because there's a whole lot of stupid in her district. And it's designed that way. Concomitantly, Jesus, Robin. Tomahawk Axe, Stephen, New York, says, I remember the time I took a tour of the Capitol with my Tomahawk Axe and bulletproof vest. What's the problem? Well, I mean, everybody, all the Capitol Police got guns and bulletproof vests. Why can't I have one? I mean, fat dead Tony Scalia, he done said that he thinks that we should be all good, God, fair, and upstanding Bible, believing Christ, centered, evangelical, gun, mentalist, ammo, sectional Christians ought to be able to have bazookas. He used that word, bazookas, and he weren't talking about no bubble gum. No. Flavio says, they need to continue to emphasize that the vaccines overwhelmingly keep people out of the hospital and away from the grave, and that the overwhelming majority, 99.5% of those getting sick and dying, are unvaccinated. Yeah, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Scott in San Diego, repost from a year ago on my Facebook. Herman Cain, 1945 to 2020, or as Godzilla from Wasilla called him, Herb Cain. 1 month you're whooping it up without a mask at a Trump rally in Tulsa, and the next money you're, well, all dead-like. P.S., says Scott in San Diego. 1 year later, and the still upright and above-ground GOP continues to spread their anti-vaccination and anti-mask bullshit. If they insist upon remaining merchants of death, look for a change in the GOP symbol from elephant to skull and crossbones. I think it's already there. It was when he went to the Tulsa Super Spreader event that Herb Cain, not quite dead yet, said, masks will not be mandatory for the event, which will be attended by President Trump. People are fed up! Oh, Herb, you didn't know fed up until you couldn't get a good breath. Mm-hmm. The House always wins. Lee, New York, reminds me of when I made that, used that metaphor earlier. Not at a grump casino. Well, that's true. That is so true. The man is such a perpetual fuck-up that he couldn't even run a casino and win money. And the House always wins. Yeah. Okay, I'm relaxed now, Steve, in New York. Thank you. As to the horizontal crucifixion and the intubation, Jeremy in Vermont reminds us, they just paralyze your body so you don't fight. You're still awake. You just can't move. You hear everything. I wish doctors would start telling the world this more widely. Yeah, maybe if we start, I'm humble, but maybe if we'd start referring to it as horizontal crucifixion, maybe the evangelicals would, pay attention. I want to be horizontally crucified just like Jesus. You know, if they want to raise me up and stand me up too, that's all right. This country. Aw. Well, hi, Melissa. God, that's a lot of paperwork. You're working on the side of the angels. Absolutely. So, here we are. We're past the first hour of the program, and that's pretty much the filler robster. Remember, if you want to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, feel free to pop on over and click the button there at headon.live. It'll carry you right into the conversation. Let's see here. Isn't it nice not to have any clacking anymore? I love not clacking. That's because of a silent keyboard that Brother Deacon Asa kindly sent along. No clacking here. Yay. Okay, somebody can turn their video off. And That would be really helpful. And let's run over to the old holler tree. By the way, we've still got, what's the total? $160 in challenges on the table heretofore unresponded to. And it would be great if folks would like to see, well, if you want to see your money doubled and see us actually end the month fully funded and, you know, bonus health insurance, then responding to Charlene and Rogues Island's challenge for the end of the month, well, would be most helpful. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
You're crackling, Bob.
Okay. Let me know.
I'm gonna remove you and then ring you back.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've got a patch cable going bad, so we'll try it on another channel. Waiting. Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa tells me, oh, yeah, you can still smoke in Vegas casinos. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, anytime, Sparky. Oh, the dead air. Oh, I mentioned that I had a Joe Manchin sighting earlier, and somehow or another got diverted and didn't get back to it. They have a Democratic caucus luncheon from time to time in the Senate, and they had one this past Tuesday. There we go. I'm reconnected. All better. And here's the fun part. Apparently, people are getting a little bit tired of Joe Manchin's bullshit because he got up to speechify and talked about how he's worried about the deficit and, oh, my goodness, the debt. And I don't know if we can do, I don't know if we can do budget reconciliation for infrastructure and making the country better and everything. Because what about our grandchildren's? Well, Joe Manchin's been supporting the poisoning of a lot of grandchildren's, a lot of people's grandchildren's, for about, two or more decades. So that rings hollow with me. But the thing is, when he started all that horse shit, other Democratic senators booed him. I always think of the booing scene from Princess Bride. Boo! 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 Although Joe Manchin, to be fair, is no damn buttercup. All right, Sparky, let's try this again. Am I still crackling?
No, you're better. Much better now.
Yeah, I've got to replace this patch cord that goes to the iPad. That's what it is. Complicated stuff. So, 100 degrees plus again out there?
Oh, yeah, and it's smoky. And my well went dry, but luckily my neighbor had a backup well she just put a new pump into last weekend. So I'm getting water off of her well. And you can't even get a hold of a well drilling contractor. They won't even answer your phone calls. Some of them say their voicemail's full.
Because they're just covered up in work?
Yeah.
A lot of wells going. How deep is your well, Sparky?
I don't know exactly.
That's some scary shit.
Her new well is 140 feet. They hung the pump at 100 feet.
That's really true. And water is so important. And I've seen so many people with water needs around here. I just wanted to say that.
Could you just wait a minute?
Yeah, sorry, dude. I'm not trying to step on your toes. It's a big problem right now. Yeah, go on, dude.
Anyway, when they pumped the new well out, because they had to pump all that shit and grime that's built up in there, they ran all the water onto my property through the cyclone fence in the back.
Oh, nice.
But I wanted to tell you about a story where we had Jim Jordan.
Oh, yeah?
Posted a tweet. Who do you trust less, Dr. Fauci, Adam Schiff, or Speaker Pelosi? Well, it didn't go too well. There's one guy that tweeted him back.
Yeah?
Said, the jacketless motherfucker who kept child molestation a secret is the one I trust the least. What do I win?
Good. God, jackass.
Yeah, and so one person just goes, you. And then I trust every one of them. I don't trust you or any Republican except Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, because everything you guys did was an attack to attack the Democratic Party. And that's one of my many reasons why I am a former Republican, this one guy says.
Look, I'm not trying to be, I'm really not trying to be a burden on anybody. Like, I've noticed water problems around. And one thing I've noticed, so, like, on my property, I live on a property, you know, we've got a couple of hand-dug wells, old-school wells. Not saying that's helpful in any way, it's just something kind of interesting. Like, I'm not that in tune with this old-school technology and stuff. It's just something interesting.
Oh, we had a property once that we had a hand-dug well, and it had water in it, and no, you did not drink from that thing, because it was nothing but E. coli and Listeria. In fact, my dear friend Terry, the geologist, says, I don't know. She said, I don't know why anybody would drink water out of a well. When a geologist says that to you, well, see what I did there? Well,
we never drink. We get bottled water to drink.
Right, precise. And you know, I guess you and she are in agreement there.
I get 5 gallon jugs from Mount Shasta Spring Water Company. They deliver every 3 weeks. And the water tastes great.
I've noticed that
I think that's the reason I never had any cavities.
No, I've noticed that like with the Nespresso machines and the coffee pots that we use, we don't have to descale them nearly as often as long as I continue to use distilled water. A lot less dissolved solids. Seems to make a difference.
Yeah, you can tell that the whatever's in the water, because it builds up, white crust builds up on the kitchen faucet.
Yeah, scaling.
Yeah. And you can't use a dishwasher here, because it just fucks them up. If they sit, it'll freeze your impeller.
Oh, and the tap water here tastes like a swimming pool.
Well, has it got a lot of chlorine in it?
Oh, yeah, they chlorinate it out, especially after a bunch of rain.
I'm sorry.
Let's see, I haven't... who all's in the room this evening? Oh, my God. Okay. Steve! You there?
Blobbin', what's up, brother?
Well, you know, Steve.
I don't know, man. It's just fucking disheartening. All these people, these fucking non-vaxxers are fucking everything up, man.
They are.
Put us all in a hell.
Yeah, they're why we can't have nice things.
Right. Right, man. And it's disheartening, because what's going to happen is this Delta is going to mutate to something that's going to bypass the vaccination.
Well, that's it already has. I mean, not to the bypass the vaccinations point.
Not to that point, right? But I mean, it's become a biohazard.
It already has bypassed the vaccination insofar as you can still get it if you're vaccinated. That's not a reason not to get vaccinated. And in fact, you know, the vaccine is strongest like 2 weeks after your second dose. And then it goes downhill. And I'll be the first in line for a booster. You damn right.
Fucking right. Sign me up, man.
Yeah, maybe. I'll look around. Anybody got some Moderna out? Dude, I need some Moderna. You got some Moderna, dude?
Hook me up.
Hook me up a little Moderna, man.
I thought you got the Pfizer.
I did get the Pfizer, Sparky. That's why I was saying, you got a little Moderna. You know, it's kind of like the difference between sativa and indica, right?
Right. But what's disheartening is your 12 don't even have a choice, and you can be a walking biohazard and get somebody sick. You know, through
connection. I mean, the CDC is now saying that vaccinated people spread it just as well as unvaccinated people do. And but the other point I was going to make, Steve, is that the other variants are already out there. Your brother in the fraternity of Steve from New York, has been tracking the Lambda variant.
It's a Gamma, last I heard.
Oh, no, we're up to Lambda.
Up to Lambda.
Yeah. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda.
It's disheartening. We could have had all this shit behind us.
It's infuriating.
Stupid motherfuckers would have just got vaxxed.
Yeah.
It was done. No mask, none of this shit. We could have had it behind us.
Hey, if y'all need the Moderna vaccine, you got to be sure to call the guy.
Well, yeah, I've got a guy available. I got a guy.
Oh, good. Always call the guy.
They've got a vaccination place at San Francisco International because people are flying in from Asia to get vaccinated.
Jeez.
And you're spending thousands of dollars to stay in a motel to get the second shot.
And South America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw from Brazil and from Colombia.
I know of a family that came up from Peru. Actually, it's my ex's first husband, the father of the kids. He came up, got his first shot, then visited up here in Oregon, and did a little bit of other touristy stuff, but was staying at his house for about a week, and then went back down to the Bay Area, got his second shot, and flew back to Peru.
Well,
and oddly enough, Roger, if I understand from Steve in New York correctly, the stuff that he's been sharing with me, Peru is home base for the Lambda variant.
Could very well be. I don't follow it that closely, and my wife being out of town, she's the one that reads the Peruvian newspapers all the time, and we talk about other things when we talk.
But I think Steve in New York's in the room. He can confirm if I misread that.
So is Scott. He's got his hand raised.
Yeah, go, Scott.
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
Who has an aunt with a second cousin.
Oh, and speaking of guys, PBS the other night on, was it American Experience? Yeah, I think, whatever their series is, had a documentary about the blues man Buddy Guy, which I recommend to you, even though he's a Republican, or was last time I heard. Hey, people, listen to me. Reports of my having fallen off the planet are grossly exaggerated. I'm still upright and above ground. I'm just on my annual summer sleeping schedule. Why I woke up this afternoon at 2:28 is beyond me, but here I am. So hello.
So in the northern hemisphere, the bears hibernate in the winter, but you hibernate in the summer.
Well, it's only because it's hotter than boiled nipples here in this old apartment.
Easy.
Air conditioner.
Feel the same.
No, I'm talking about baby bottle nipples. I'm not talking about your nipples. When did I mention your nipples, Robin?
Twice now, damn it.
Oh, okay. Well, see, nothing.
We're trying to keep the community engaged, not repulsed.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll hang up then. If that's what I didn't know, the rules changed.
It's not that they changed. It's just that we're not any good at following them.
Oh, I know. I know. How is everyone? Is everyone all right? Tickety-boo and stuff? I heard from Steve in New York the other day on Facebook. And don't tell anybody, but he's sending me a surprise. But I'm not supposed to ask for hints.
You can't. There's no hint asking. I know what the surprise is. And a 20-mule team loaded with borax could not drive it out of me.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm okay, and I'm not making a lot of sense because I've only had one cup of coffee.
I understand. I do.
But seriously, how is everybody? Because I've been out of the fucking loop so long, I don't know what the hell is going on.
You know, not can't complain. I won't speak for the rest of the group, but you know, just kind of stressing out the end of the month for that matter. But okay, I mean, trying. You know, I got my mask back on. I do not walk into Walmart, without it. I don't go much of anywhere without it. And as long as I'm wearing something that has freaking pockets. I have my mask in my pocket ready, you know, at a moment's notice.
I'm back into hunkering down at home and not going out. I started going down to the local lodge and playing the bar bingo game and socializing a little bit. But once this Delta thing came out, I said, fuck it. I'm just going to hide out at home and go to the grocery store when I have to and eat out of the freezer again. And just stay home, because I want to keep seeing my grandkids.
I dare say, Roger, that you eating out of your freezer is probably a better culinary experience than 99.9% of people eating out of theirs.
Well, yeah. What the hell? That got a smoke alarm going off. I'll be back later.
Yep. Smoking's bad, Roger.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap. I gotta go out and work, but I gotta do what I gotta do, and I try to stay safe. That's all. That's just me.
That's what you gotta do. I thought I heard Chris's voice.
Hey, how is everybody?
I think we just did that question.
Oh, okay. Well, I just joined, so. Yeah, Scott. Hey, Scott. Hey, everyone.
Hey, baby, what's up?
Well, there's water falling from the sky. Here in Portland for the first time in 2 months.
It's a trick of the devil. Don't believe it.
I didn't even dance or nothing.
No, that's gasoline. It's just going to fuel the fires.
Well, it's nice.
Did you go out and get wet?
No. I just got back from a walk with Inga, and we missed the rain by a little bit. But I am so happy I don't have to spend an hour in the yard watering and run over to the Gladstone community garden plot that we have and water that for another hour. So that's really, I'm happy about that for the first time in 2 months.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what all's growing in the garden?
Oh, okay. So remember when I think I put a picture up of the zucchinis I was growing?
Yeah.
Those big zucchinis, oh, that turned out so good. I think, Robin, you told me to just steam it. And I think Roger was talking about it too. Just steam it with a little bit of garlic and butter and salt and pepper, and that's it. And it was fantastic. Now the green beans are coming in big time.
Ooh.
So
what kind of green beans? That will determine what you do with them.
Just the regular string green beans, I guess.
Well, I mean, is it a round green bean or a flat green bean?
Round.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked is, you know, there's the old hillbilly way of green beans, which is just slowly simmering them with some fat back or bacon or hog jowl, and a little bit of sugar.
I've got bacon. What, brown sugar?
No, it doesn't matter. Not a lot, just a little bit, and cornbread. You want cornbread with that because you want cornbread with the green bean juice.
Pot liquor.
Yeah, pot liquor. Exactly. I hesitated to use the term because you know it's so very well. Some people may not be familiar with the term, but yeah, greens, green beans, the pot, you know, because basically it's just seasoned fatty water, and it's all kinds of yummy.
Hey, Robin.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Steve.
Robin.
Go ahead, Sparky.
Yeah, Tim, if you're listening, Steve didn't mean to zap you from the Skype group, so you can come back in.
Yeah,
it was a mistake, bro. All apologies, man.
Yeah, we're trying to use the hand raising so that we cut down on the confusion.
Tim is a blue dot. He didn't know what was going on.
Well, yeah. He's more than welcome.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely welcome. Yep.
But what I wanted to say, Robin, was here, like not 5 minutes ago, we were talking about boiled nipples, and you're worried about pot. What was it?
Oh, I missed liquor? That. Shit, I'm sorry, I missed that.
And you're worried about pot liquor?
Sorry, I missed that too. What happened here?
It's boiling nipples.
Fuck all of y'all.
No, but I mean.
We need to get back to the S&M club.
When
shit.
Do we apply the rules? Well, nipples.
Easy. I come in the first word of his nipples. What's going on?
Hi, Jeremy. Of course you did.
That's okay. All I caught was pot liquor, so, you know.
It means you're in the right place, Jeremy. Come on, sit down. Have a seat.
Yeah, pot liquor is what happens when Marjorie Taylor Greene goes to the dispensary.
Oh, man. See, there you went. There you went.
Family safe entertainment.
Liquor, I don't even know her.
Wait a minute. Okay. Liquor, I don't even...
Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi.
Oh, God.
How many
people do you think? Yeah. I don't know. It's like cow nipples, like boiled cow nipples. Like sounds... Probably pretty tasty.
Let's see a delicacy.
We are more than off into the ditch. We're on a mountain road, and we just fell off the damn road because there was no guardrail. And
they're really good. Get them fresh and organic. Serve them with a lovely hollandaise sauce drizzled over the top.
Yes.
Yum,
you're
yum.
Still talking, huh?
I'm sorry.
How many maggots do you think can fit in Steve Bannon's hot dog water spa?
Oh, God.
Damn. I'm with Tracy here. I mean, I'm just, my ears are bleeding. Anyone got an ice pick I can put in my ears?
Is that nasty?
Chris is on a roll tonight.
And I have to say something. Jeremy, when you came into the chat into the room and said, oh, you had just gotten in and you didn't hear us before, I didn't get in time, but what I wanted to get in and say was, so you have no frame of reference. You're like a child who wanders into, we all know what that is.
I don't know, Steve. What?
The Big Lebowski. What Walter said.
Oh.
You're like a child who wanders into the middle of a movie.
Fuck, I just come here for the family safe entertainment. Jesus Christ.
Wrong night, Jeremy. Oh, hey, Chris, back to your green beans for just a minute.
Yeah, yes.
If you do it Southern style like that, they're going to wind up soft because you're just going to simmer them for a long damn time. If, on the other hand, you like some crunch, you can take them and parboil them, you know, not till they're, but, you know, briskly boiling water, parboil them, leave them in there a few minutes, pull them out, shock them in cold water, and then get some olive oil and, like, you know, some slivered almonds and a big skillet and just kind of toss them and braise them in that oil. And they'll be crispy and wonderful, and you hit them, you know, whatever seasonings you like, salt and pepper usually. But
yeah. Is that the one I talked to you about? Because I was just, as you're telling this, I'm thinking that's exact. I like olive oil and butter.
Yeah, a little comment. Yeah.
Yeah. And
can
just,
I ask a question?
You put
are
them
we
in
still
a...
talking about the cow nipples?
Jesus. I'm not going to use cow nipples with my green beans.
Hey, Robin, that's Tim from
the Blue Tim. Family.
Hey, Robin. Nice to meet you.
Welcome aboard.
You guys are just about as crazy as the Blue Dots.
Got to do something to keep the keep the maggot crazy at bay.
That's great.
Hey, thanks, Robin. I'll try. Hey. I think I'll do the second method. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, that and you know, cornbread's not bad there either. When you one of the places that people might want to wander off to try is. At the Horn Inn is called Tamarack, and it's this big, beautiful showcase of all kinds of artisan, like furniture making, ceramics, glass, and there's a lovely little restaurant that's run by the Greenbrier in Tamarack, and they do their green beans like that, you know, sautéed in the skillet, and phew, heavenly, just heavenly. But make sure you string make sure you string them real good. That's why I always go. There's a bush bean called Aroma, R-O-M-A, and the neighbor lady that I grew up next to always grew them in her garden, and they were just heavenly. And you don't have the damn strings to deal with. Half runners, Logan Giants, Kentucky Wonders. You know why they're Kentucky Wonders? Because after you spent 2 hours stringing the goddamn things, you wonder why you ever fucking planted them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Robin, I have a question. You said they're at the Greenbrier. That's Governor Big Old Jim Justice's place, right?
Yeah, it is. But the Tamarack has. But the Greenbrier Kitchen's been doing this since before Justice bought it.
Okay, I just want to make sure that it's not going to make you grow antlers if you eat those beans. Is it?
No. I check for the little bumps every day, you know, because the.
No way, shape, form, or fashion do these green beans cause you to grow antlers.
It don't cause you. But hey, there's been a big winner in the Do It for Baby Dog sweepstakes. A woman who worked for 10 years at a healthcare facility in Greenbrier County got her jab and was entered in the lottery and won $1 million.
Wow.
Because I guess that's the, I mean, at this point, you know, look, I want us to get to that maximum level of immunization and, you know, whatever road we have to take to get there. But it just astonishes me that we are that stupid and that venal that, you know. That's what it takes.
What's this weed bullshit? Wait, what? That's right up there with you people.
And, so, Robin, that's your tax money, right? This is out of the state treasury?
Very likely. It's probably out of the COVID money that Jim kept squirreled away.
Hey, Robin, I have a suggestion. Tell me what you think of this. Why don't we give everybody who gets the people who, particularly in the South, we'll say, you get the jab, we'll give you a Giddy-Up Bible.
Hell, they don't even steal those from the Motel 6 anymore, Steve. What the fuck are you talking about?
Is that a Gideon's Bible?
Yeah, a Giddy-Up Bible.
Call it the Giddy-Up Bible.
You might get them better if you gave them a ham.
Ooh.
I wanted to say that Robin, your dry rubbing advice was good. That simple basics, just some salt and pepper and... That's going to be something that's going to make it pop. And I worked in kitchens and stuff, but also we've been moving on. And yeah, there's so much stupidity to go around. And if I offended anyone in the Skype group, I wasn't trying to. I'm just being me. But yeah, I've been vaccinated, and I'm pro-vaccine and stuff.
Yeah, I think we should give him a ham, but make sure it's a kosher ham.
Oh, shut up.
I mean, or we get a coupon, one free kosher ham from Walmart. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to think. I'm a helper.
Trying.
I'm a helper. Or maybe, you know what? Here's what I think we ought to just give him is a cyanide capsule.
Cyanide capsule.
I think a cyanide capsule.
Get it over quick. Get it over quick.
Yeah. Say, hey, just take this. This will keep.
Hey, there's no liquid 5G barcodes in this.
And it'll keep you from getting the virus, and you only it only all you need to do is take it, put it in your mouth, and bite down.
Whose dog is that?
Yeah, and I mentioned the name of the stupid. I mentioned the name of the stupid lottery here, and I said, "Do it for baby dog." And that baby dog, I guess, is make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice's pup. And in no way, shape, form, or fashion will this vaccine make you turn into baby dog. But no, it rubbed Flavio the wrong way. I don't mean baby dog. I mean just the whole concept. Really? Do it for baby dog? Not do it for those you love? No. Not do it because mountaineers are always free as opposed to mountaineers are always dead? I mean, you'd think that this state, but we've forgotten. We don't know our heritage. We don't know our history. We don't know what's been done to us here. And some of the people, even if they do know what's been done to us here, like, yeah, I wish they'd do it again. I mean, Jesus Christ, I got a lot of experience with this. I've shown up at meetings where the coal company said, and we're going to blow the living bee Jesus out of where you live, and we're going to poison your ass, and you're going to breathe nothing but blasting dust. But hey, looky here.
We're giving any extra $100.
Looky here. Fred Schmidlkoff done won himself a 55-inch color TV. Come get your color TV, Fred.
Can we ask Jack what's going on down in Louisiana?
Yeah, what's happening, Jack?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just like that second got back to where I could see the Skype window. I don't know. I tried to split the chat off to make it bigger, and then it like disappeared all the screens, and so I had to like quit and re-sign in. So anyway. How is Louisiana? It's hot. I can't even remember what y'all asked.
In more ways than one. I mean, you've got Louisiana's
a COVID report.
Yeah, burning mess, isn't it?
Yeah, we're second to last, you know, and like how fucked up it is. And can't get the.
Okay, thank God for Alabama, right?
Well, what?
I said, thank God for Alabama. Y'all are second to last.
Oh, yeah. You know, and there's going to be this, a swingers convention is coming to town. But they agreed not to do their, you know, parade, you know, drunken parade, you know. They're going to stay in their home. Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but they won't do the parade, but they're still going to come to town for the convention and then, you know, I don't know, spread it and then go everywhere back.
Swingers parade, that sounds fun.
Yeah, there's this what they call the red dress run, which is apparently some, I don't know, drunken flat boys that dress up in red dresses and they'll, you know, rutting around or, you know, huffing and puffing and spread shit around. And there was,
I don't know the details.
There were some LGBT people that, you know, like replied to some of that crap because it really is, you know, it doesn't rub some people the right way, you know, giving dresses to kind of make fun of it. I don't know. Anyway, drunken frat boys, and then let's see what else.
So the swingers, they're all going to be spreading in more ways than one, huh?
Yeah. It's just gross.
Gunner.
And then let's see. There's, you know, and then, you know, the you know, they're always trying to take emergency powers away from the governor and, you know, all that kind of crap. Oh, and then apparently what they're saying is that Edwards, you know, our only Dem governor in the South, and, you know, I got health care, you know, because of that, and didn't when Jindal, the Republican, was here. Well, unfortunately, we're so you know, captured by the fossil fuels and everything else. They're saying, I'm hearing that he's going to this global energy conference and they're going to put some kind of carbon capture, you know, I don't know, site to bury shit in our, Cancer Alley down there, you know, which is already, you know, it's where all the pollution and spills and crap, you know, it's done on the floor, and people that are not white down in South Louisiana. So, and that's
in other words, it's plenty scary for you too. I just got a note from Trey in Kentucky, Stan. The COVID positivity rate is 8.96% in Kentucky, Stan. Jesus.
And, you know, Mitch, I don't know. I don't trust Mitch. You know, it's like, I don't know. He's trying to,
From us, the number one vaccinated state in America, we had 55 new cases today and one new death.
Where?
Vermont.
Vermont.
Oh.
The most vaccinated state in the union. And by the way, you mentioned Piyush Bobby Jindal, the amateur exorcist. We haven't had a Piyush Jindal reference in a long damn time, so thanks for that, Jack.
Yeah, well, he was
not in Vermont right now. What's up in Vermont?
I need to update because we were goose egging along for a while. I want to send out big thank yous to Jeremy, who just met $20 worth of Charlene's Robin's health insurance premium challenge. With the message, here to save whatever nipples.
Yeah. Nipples.
Yay. Yeah. Shit. Hi, John.
I knew them nipples was going to come in again.
And,
John, and then
Alma jumped in. So here's the bottom line. There is $30 remaining. Thank you, Alma. Thank you, Jeremy. There's $30 remaining in Charlene's challenge. And then after that, there's the $10 challenge from Joey and Giraffe, and they are at the Nina Turner rally, and I've received photographs. Joey just sent them along. He got right up there on the front row and was taking pictures over Giraffe's shoulders of Bernie, and he got his picture taken with Bernie there at the rally, and it seems like a red letter evening for Joey and Giraffe. Junior had to stay home. He's not old enough for that yet.
Yeah, Robin, Joey owes you money. He's taken care of.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Much obliged. Hey,
Robin, I'd love to have Nina Turner in the House. Or is she running for the House or the Senate?
She's running for House.
Oh, I'd love to have her there with Cori Bush and Congresswoman Omar and...
Yeah, did you know Ilhan Omar introduced a bill for... basic income that would give every American $1,200 a month?
Communism!
Yep, there we go. Communism!
Communism. Jesus.
Like I said, we got $30 to go. Oh, and Irish Dave. Irish Dave knocked out a day, so if we meet Charlene and Rogue's Island's challenge, We'll basically have today to take care of. We'll be down to $300, and maybe we can do that. So we got $330 to go. Thank you. Thank you, Irish Dave. Thank you, Alma. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Charlene. So very, very much, one and all. Thanks so much. Keeping fingers crossed here.
Robin, I sent you over the my pledge from last week and then the Match the Challenge. Did you get that?
Yeah, I saw that land.
On Venmo.
Yeah, but I didn't see the challenge part.
The challenge part was the $5. Remember, I did the what was I doing? Oh, the fuck Don Lemon challenge. I put 25. At least I thought I did.
Oh yes, yes. Okay, I see it.
And I put 20. What plus did five.
I? Wait, stop. stop, back up. What did Don Lemon do?
Well, he berated the guy who confronted Tucker Carlson.
Why would he do that?
And he defended Tucker Carlson as... And I thought, Tracy, you and I are reading off the same page. I'm like, Don?
Yeah, Tracy, that's my reaction pretty much.
Say what?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And the guy wasn't mean. He wasn't nasty. He wasn't. He was quiet.
He was almost. He was. I mean, he was speaking truth to power, but he was respectful about it. He didn't cuss him. And he
so
just said,
"He's a better human being than either one of us."
By a long shot.
And he smiled throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Well,
Hey, so Robin, check this out. So,
hey, girl, hey.
So, I was talking to my mom about you, and she was like, so how's Robin doing? Now, remember who my mother is?
Yes, I'm rather surprised.
Yes, and I said, she's doing good, you know, and she's like, so how's everything going with, you know, with her? And she said her.
Woo, pronouns.
And her and Agnes. And I said, you know, they're working through it. She's like, well, you know, people got to be who they got to be.
You're here.
I know. But the shock, I was like, what? Is this the same woman that sat in the front row at my wedding with her arms crossed looking like she had sucked a lemon? You know, I was... I mean, I, you know, because I talk about you all the time, you know.
Aww.
And, you know, so but it was just, I was shocked. We got into this conversation today about, you know, because, you know, she lives in North Carolina, Stan. And, you know, being born and raised out here in California, it took a lot of adjustments. For her, but we were talking about the voting, you know, all
these that is so reverse Beverly Hillbillies.
I know, it is. And so, you know, we were talking about all these voter laws, you know, that are, you know, trying and keeping us from voting. And she was on a tear. She's like she won't cuss, but she's just, she's like, if we sit back and let this happen and not just tear new people new, well, she didn't say assholes, but she's like, if we sit by, and she was referring to black people, and just let this happen, it's our own fault. But it's like I said, well, Mom, it is certain to a certain degree, but then you have to figure, they're making laws that if you bring somebody a bottle of water while they're standing in line. The fact that they even have to stand in line in the first place to vote in the sun, then that's against the law. Or driving people to the polling place is against the law. But it's not racist. It's not, you know, Jim Crow 2.0. No. We're just, you know, trying to keep, you know, again, you know, trying to fight all that voter fraud that's happening. You know,
I just
want to say we all respect you. I've been listening to this program for like 10 years, you know, we all know, and it's like, do whatever makes you feel good and have a good time. And that's all I have to say. I'm an Oregon hillbilly and you're, you know, hillbilly too. And that's all.
Thanks.
Hey, Robin, what about the Fulton County thing? Have you talked about that?
No, I haven't. Anybody want to take that? Steve, you want to take that?
Georgia Stan, Steve?
Yes. Oh, hey, by the way, thanks, Chris, for jumping in. Chris jumped in and Ralph jumped in, and so we are done with Charlene's challenge. And we've only got $260 to go. To finish this evening, thank you to Darlene, a member of the sorority, a founding member of the sorority of Leans, and also a member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Thank you, Darlene. So,
Bob, I think I'm going to have to just give tell PayPal to use my freaking phone number, and they send ads and shit to it, but I can't get past it. So,
well, I have to do that from time to time, Jack, and I don't get any ads off of it. But what they do is they send me a 4-digit code to verify that it's actually me.
Oh, well, yeah, AT&T or somebody else sends a code. Yeah, I think it's the AT&T or my cell phone does that to get on their to pay them or something. But I don't think I ever gave PayPal my number, because I never let them verify it, You tell them, okay, call it, so they know it's good, And I don't see how I could have given it to them. It was sneaky, but I'll just have to let them do it. So,
and then two-factor identification, you'll probably get that text no matter what you do.
Well,
Robin, how much is left for tonight?
$260.
$260. Okay, so let's do a $30. Let's see. My mom is beginning to see the light challenge.
Oh, Tracy's mama's seeing the light $30 challenge. Thank you, Tracy.
It's never too late, right, Tracy?
No.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Oh, and that's another thing.
Well, it's the right light, not the wrong one.
It's a world, and I won't spend a lot of time on this. It's a world of flaming barbed wire hoops out there, and I owe Scott in San Diego forever for that phrase, because it has just taken on so much meaning for me. So I know I'm going to be traveling soon, because I've got a medical appointment that is several states away in September, late August. And it's not like I'm going to be traveling through the most trans-friendly states in the union. No, it, the exact opposite, actually. I'm going to be traveling through the most trans-hateful states in the union. And so it becomes imperative that I get my driver's license changed and get my gender marker changed and get a new photograph. And so there's the state of West Virginia, DMV. I mean, to their credit, they promulgated a form so you don't have to go to court or anything. But you can change your gender marker. But it has to be signed by a licensed physician. And I've actually had a conversation with DMV and explained to them, that's a problem because there are a whole lot of trans people in West Virginia whose medical transition is not being managed by a licensed physician. It's being managed by a licensed health care provider. In other words, a certified nurse practitioner, a certified midwife. And that's, I'm one of those people. So I had problems getting my primary care physician because he just doesn't understand it all. And I've got another physician I reached out to. She said, no problem. So I sent her the form. I said, please print it out, fill it out in blue ink so that they'll know that it's an original, and then mail it back to me. And she said, sure, no problem. And that was Monday evening. She said, "I'm putting it in the mail this evening." And I said, nice. "Cool." And I'm really excited. And we now know that thanks to the fucking of the United States Postal Service, that thing has been. It used to take one day to get a piece of mail from Charleston, West Virginia, to Fayette County. One county away. It now apparently takes at least 5 days.
God damn it.
Because I was, it wasn't here yesterday. I was like, wow, okay, 3 days. Okay, first class mail. So I was like, all right, then it's bound to be here today.
And they could have set up fucking literally a Pony Express.
Yeah.
And it would have got there sooner.
Not even a Pony Express, John Briteveau. Just kind of a lazy, do-less, half-ass pony.
They and could have been... folded it into the shape of an airplane and tossed it.
Yeah. it wasn't here again today. So the DMV's closed tomorrow. So please, please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let it land tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm actually on my way to AAA right now to get my.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tracy.
Got to raise your hand, brother.
I was saying that.
I just don't know how to use this technology very well.
Okay.
I have.
Hold. Tracy talking.
Well, I had an important letter that my rabbit pissed on. It's so funny. Anyway, Tracy, your turn. Sorry.
Yeah, go, Tracy.
It's okay. No, I was just saying that. I am stuck on the 405 trying to get to AAA because our governor extended it so that if you renewed your license during COVID, which we're still in, and you didn't get a chance to get your real ID, so now you could get your real ID without paying, upgrading it. And then now also in certain AAAs, you can go to the AAA to finish all the paperwork. So I don't even have to go to the DMV. I can go to AAA, and that's why I'm stuck on the 4. Jan and I were supposed to go together, but I got waylaid on the 405, so I just told her to meet me there. And because her appointment is at 4:20, mine's is at 4:30. But isn't that awesome? I don't have to go to the DMV.
How positively civilized.
Hey, Tracy, in California, how much is that fee? Because in Oregon, I had to pay $35.
$35.
So you don't have to pay that fee. You and Jan,
no.
You get that waived.
We get it waived because they weren't. You know, this is I renewed my license last year, and I wasn't going into the DMV for anything. So a lot of people, what they did was. As long as you didn't have any tickets or anything like that, you could just renew your license online. And I haven't had a ticket. Well, let me shut up because I might just jinx myself. So
don't do that.
No. But anyway, I haven't had any, and wait, hold on. Speaking of which, here's my wife. I'll be back.
Uh-oh, here comes a ticket for her talking on the phone while driving.
Yeah, one hopes not. But,
yeah, I hope not too.
Thank you very kindly. Hey, Henry, thank you very kindly for jumping in. Thank you so much. That means we are down to 235 to finish the week. We are $235 away from a Horn Family Community Made Miracle.
Where are you? Go anywhere you want. Pick up any Bible you want. You find out where you can get a miracle for that cheap. You can't do it. I don't give a shit if you look at Leviticus.
Not even in the Giddy Up Bible, John Bridwell.
No, it's not there.
Hey, but
only right here.
Miracle, John. Miracle.
Yeah,
$400.
And John, there's another little update. We have four people ready to show up at the Horn Inn in June of 2022. So the more people sign up, the more likely it becomes that it's going to be a reality. I've had good feedback. People saying, "Ooh, that's going to be so much fun! I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome," and it is. I've
donated before. I can't donate right now because I'm trying to pay for a lawyer and stuff.
Don't worry about it. We'll get there. And we just let's see what did I say? we're now down to 205 thanks to an anonymous friend. We're down to 205 to finish the week. That's awesome. And the reason I mentioned the Horn Inn to you, John Bridwell, is I told everybody, John Bridwell and his lovely bride have a standing invite to come, and a few others. And I think it would be a fantastic.
It sounds like
time.
I'm cranked up. You know, we got one coming, and I'm just cranked up about it. I'm itching. Days can't go by fast enough. Let's go. I'm ready to go meet some blue dots. So.
I think that's going to be an awesome good time.
Hey, Robin, there's lots of hands up.
How can you beat that?
No, there are lots of hands up. Let's see. Let's go. Let's take the hand on top. Let's go to Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, baby, what's happening?
Still happening. Nothing boiling. Good. Nothing being boiled.
When Tracy comes back, if she hadn't been carted off to speeder prison or whatever, I got a question for her. But, you know, what it comes down to, in my mind, is we've got two major political parties in this country who apparently, at least the way they describe it, are running things. Okay. Isn't the turning point, the moment of clarity, going to happen when it'll be a matter of whichever the first party is that realizes the stark reality that dead people don't vote? Isn't that going to be the major turning point? I don't mean medically. Well, maybe I do mean medically. But do you get what I'm asking here?
I do.
If you're killing off your constituency, there's no future in it for your party, for your tribe.
Well
that's why
I addressed that, Scott.
That's why I asked the question last night on the program, Scott. You know, how many maggots have to shuffle off this mortal coil out of their own stupidity to cause a 1% or 2% change in vote numbers? I'm not rooting for that. I'm not that person. But
they've come to realize it. It's not about the numbers. They're gonna claim they won anyway.
Yeah, they're just gonna say it. Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If the fix is in on both ends, first of all, on one end, you're keeping people from voting in many places, or trying to, and on the other end, you're in charge of counting. Well, we're ultimately all screwed, Robin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that attributed to Stalin? I don't care who votes. I care who counts the votes.
Bingo. Absolutely, yeah, right. It was.
Now, Scott, to go back to what you're saying, remember back in April when the numbers were first coming out on who was getting affected by COVID the most? It was people of color. And so that's why,
precisely,
Nitwit Nero and Jared and everybody like, fuck it, let it burn. But now tables are kind of turned, right?
Well, yeah, because you look at the red spots on the map, and then superimpose an electoral map over the red map, and by red I mean COVID, aflame with COVID. And there's a lot of Republicans who are getting sick and or dying. And how do they not see that? Their own fucking people. I know they don't care about their own fucking people.
Because of their bubble, because of their Fox, Newsmax, Onan bubble that they live in. Red state, blah, blah, blah.
No, I'm not talking about the roofs on the Midway. I'm talking about the fucking leaders, so-called, of the Republican Party.
Oh.
Certainly it should dawn on somebody. I mean, even Frank Luntz is admitting.
Even Frank Luntz
is admitting that the virus is taking its toll on his side of the ledger. Now, come on! I mean, if he's getting it, certainly.
I think a lot of Republicans are in that quandary right now of trying to decide between COVID-19 and prison. Which one's worse? You know.
Oh, Jim Shorts, Jim Shorts are a ringer.
Oh, he don't know what to do. He's beside himself. I don't know. We're not talking to him. Are you shitting me in the middle of an instruction with all that crap going outside and you don't remember that day? Oh, kiss my ass, Jim.
He got called out by name.
Hey, John Bridevo, you're old enough. That's the Reagan defense. Well, Nancy, I really don't recall that I don't remember that I don't have a recollection.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay. Jim Jordan is trying to say he doesn't remember what happened on that fucking day?
He's trying to say he doesn't remember when he talked to Donnie that day. Was it before the insurrection, during the insurrection, or after? I can't remember. Oh, kiss my ass, he remembers. You know, today, you know, on my show, the title of my show was January 6th was Plan B. That's what January 6th was. Now we're waiting on Plan C, but Plan A evidently was Donnie trying to convince the DOJ to just come out and say
Yeah, just say it was rigged and leave the rest to me.
And leave the rest to me. Man, when I saw that shit, I'm like, this is meant, you know, see.
Yeah.
Yeah, the paper came out.
This is a conspiracy documented in that guy's notes of an attempt to subvert the election, and that didn't work. So then they came up with January 6th. You know,
now that you said,
check
what they're
going to
do next.
Yeah, they're going to.
Well, they got the
August 16th
guy.
Or 12th. When was the day he's coming back?
Yeah, the meth pillow. Yeah. Pillow.
13th. Oh. 13th.
The 13th is coming back.
Yeah, yeah, and
will go into effect.
There. And Mr. Meth Pillow had a Mr. Meth Pillow meltdown because
he got all buddy with Fox.
Oh, he's
all in.
He was hot. He was hot. Okay, Horn Family Community Congregation Community Made Miracle Update. Thank you, Gary, and thank you, Jack. Gary. Thank you so very much. We are down to 130. 130 bucks away from a community made miracle.
We'll give you a miracle for cheaper than what you paid for them britches right there. Just y'all remember, this is a good place to put your money. This is a good place because it furthers the fight that we're all in. And where else are you going to find such fine freaking fucking entertainment as you're finding right here? And so if you've got a few bucks, baby, throw it in the pot, because that's what this is. Robin only makes a living because of your generosity. It only works if you give. And we're not asking you to give the bank. But if you own the bank now, we can have a little chat.
It's kind of like that thing that Texas T put up. It was a meme about Jeff Bezos, but it was a scene of a bunch of the apes from Planet of the Apes, and said, "Quick, let's all get in costume for when Jeff Bezos gets back." But I said,
"That's hysterical."
Hey, John Goodwill.
Hold on, the joke's on you.
I'm not wearing britches.
You're not wearing britches. I knew that, Scott. I know that.
Oh, I mean, it's naked radio here too. That's why we're not on video.
It is. I thought it was Naked Friday. Beer, bud, yep. Naked Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Exactly.
I got the beer. I got the bud. Well, what's
it? But I got to thinking. I got to thinking about it with that idea for Jeff Bezos. It's too late for that. But we could do it for Elon Musk, and that might be even funnier. I mean, can't you just see him landing in West Texas and a whole bunch of people? You know, get a millionaire, because this is where you said when you mentioned owning the bank. If we had like a limousine liberal who was willing to put up $1 million or so, get that, you know, the makeup plot's probably still in an archive in Hollywood somewhere. We can do the full-on the Planet of the Apes costumes, rent a few horses, a couple of rifles, and just have them all standing around when Elon Musk comes down.
Just wait on him to land.
And just wait for him to step out of his Elon Musk rocket ship, and then watch him start screaming and running and shrieking off into the West Texas night.
Where else are you going to find such fine entertainment as this? You're not. Besides a miracle, you're going to get entertainment.
That is awesome. I'm just picturing that shit right now.
And him with that voice of his screaming as he runs away, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape!"
Cowbell for that. Oh God.
Shit. Oh Jesus.
Damn them! Damn them all to hell!
Oh my Lord!
Jump back in that plane, kick the tires, light the fires, and get the hell out of here.
did you see where the International Space Station kind of almost veered into a space ditch?
Yeah. Went off
what?
The road a little
a
bit.
Space ditch? What?
Yeah. They lost control, man.
Oh my God.
For about an hour.
We have a problem.
Yeah, big time.
Moscow, we have a problem.
Yeah, the Russians, man, when they come in with their new docking
thing. If they run into a ditch, who do they call AAA to pull them out?
Hell yes.
What?
They call Elon Musk, I guess.
They call Tracy to pick him up.
Yeah, they call you.
Well, you know, yesterday I got a trip from LAX to Lancaster, and if anybody knows, you know, LA, it's like when they said, because at first they asked me to take them to dorms. I'm like, well, which dorms? I didn't know that they opened one in Inglewood, and they were in the car and said, yeah, I got to call Uber. And I'm like, why are you calling Uber? They said, well, I was meeting a friend here, and then I was going to Lancaster. We didn't think you would want to go. I said, you're going to pay me, right?
If you're buying, I'm flying.
You know, shit, that was a two, including the fare from the airport to Inglewood, and then from Inglewood to Lancaster, that was $270. Yeah, motherfucker, I will take you.
Hell yes.
God damn it.
You want me to come back and get you?
That's a big ride.
Hell yeah, it was a big ride. I mean, that's how I
got. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And Roger has had his hand up since God was a baby. Go, Roger.
Yeah, sorry about that fire alarm that went off. I still have no idea what it was. But I turned on some fans and cleaned out the air, and it went off. Anyhow, speaking of food, the kids are coming over for dinner Tuesday night, and I'm going to take two chickens, cut out the backbone, and flatten them out.
Yeah, spatchcock.
Yeah, well, I forget the name all the time. Anyhow, it's going to be probably 6-7 people, so that's two chickens. And I'm going to run them through a brine and then do a rub and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going to do them in the smoker with a combination of grape and probably alderwood.
Oh.
And then I'm going.
Where'd you go? Did somebody accidentally?
Did somebody accidentally kick him out?
Well, anyhow,
oh, there's Roger.
I think.
Oh, there he is.
And then there's going to be tomatoes and lemon cucumbers for the salad. That
is that what that picture is? Is that the lemon cucumbers?
Yeah.
I have never seen the like. Those look wonderful. Oh,
they are fantastic. I love them for the flavor. But you got to get them before they turn dark yellow, because when they turn dark yellow is when the seeds get big. But when they're the light yellow, you don't need to worry about the seeds at all. And then there's going to be beets out of the garden. Possibly some green beans. I posted a picture earlier about a green bean slicer that's really good. And so the only thing that's coming from the grocery store is the olive oil, red wine vinegar, balsamic vinegar, garlic salt, that kind of stuff that I already got in the house, and the chickens. And that's going to be dinner on Tuesday night.
Oh, that's going to be so good. One of these days when you're doing that to some chickens, Roger, you got to try some white barbecue sauce.
What?
White barbecue sauce.
Hmm. Okay.
It's a you can probably find a viable recipe online, but it's something that was developed at a place called Big Bob Gibson's Barbecue in Decatur, Alabama, and it goes on white, and it then as you smoke the chicken or broiler, but whatever, it disappears. But the flavor is fantastic.
Well, that's similar to putting sort of a not super thin layer of mayonnaise
on a slab of salmon.
Oh, we lost Tracy. There she goes.
Before you cook it in the oven, and the oil gets down into the meat and makes it super, super moist, and it has no mayonnaise flavor at all. I mean, none. That is—it's bizarre. But
well, white barbecue sauce is mayonnaise based, and it's I tinker with it. It's I use mayonnaise and Worcestershire sauce and sugar and a little bit of cayenne, you know, various and sundry black pepper, you know, various and sundry seasonings, and works out pretty nice.
Oh, and then the chicken gets served with the fermented aji amarillo.
God, that stuff! Oh my God, that stuff! Oh, that stuff! Oh, heavenly! I used up the last of it not long back. It was.
You're probably going to have to wait till next October or next June to get more. But I made up a bunch of it out of aji amarillos that were in the freezer. And these won't be coming on, hopefully, till I get back in October and I'll brew up
No, that'll that,
the
that, that's,
Amarillos.
That stuff is just magic. And by the way, hey, we are down to we're down to $95. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben, so very much. And Ben's been trying to get in and
I got one more question.
Yeah,
please. When I did the donation to your GoFundBob page,
yes,
I chose to not put my name
right
to be broadcast. Do you get the name of the anonymous people or not?
No.
All right. If you want me to, I can send you my.
I get it, but I don't get it. Let's put it that way. It doesn't show up on the page, but I saw it, so I knew that was you.
Okay. Because I hate to put my money in and then all of a sudden not be on the list.
No, you're on the list.
I just didn't want my name out on the whole GoFundMe
I don't blame you.
Universe.
Yeah.
I don't mind the people here knowing all about it, but the universe at large.
And so, it's really exciting. You know, you were first. You were the first, and so far it looks. It's going to be four. We're at four, and we got room for 46 more. And I sincerely hope we get them all because it's always been kind of a dream to take a bunch of to have a bunch of diverse friends all in one place. You know, we know each other, but a lot of us have never set eyes on each other. Some of us have. And I think it would just be a magnificent. It would just be a magnificent meeting of the minds, in a fantastic opportunity.
I'm looking forward to the real front porch.
Yeah, me too. And one of the other nice things about it is because it's a national park, there are a lot of places where you can do. And that weekend, it doesn't rain. At least it hasn't in 100 years. So there's if people are more comfortable that way, there's a lot of room for a lot of social distancing, and we can I think we can manage pretty carefully, and I'm hoping somehow or another that I'm hoping that we're past all of this madness by then. You know, cross fingers, and maybe we'll all be boosted by then. I don't know, but it's going to be. It is going to be a fantastic time, and I would encourage people, please, if you want to do this, go ahead and jump in, because there's going to be a lot of logistics. And like I've said before, this place is going to book up and sell out before you know it. I mean, just about every room around here has been booked since March up into November. So that's why I'm saying we got to do it now in order to know that we're going to have the accommodations. And you know, the number of people coming is going to dictate where and how I look for the, because there's all kinds of different options. So if you're inclined to jump in, and you can, jump in now. It's going to be an absolute blast.
Well, for people that are trying to jump in, would you take like a $100 now and $500 in a month or two? I.e. to book a quasi-reservation? I mean, I was able to come in with 1,000 all at once, but
I hesitate to do that because if I book and then somebody decides to bail, I could conceivably be on the hook. And you know, if it's like 5 and 5, something like that, yeah, that'll work. But 102 to 106. I don't know if we could go $100 at a time or something like that.
No, I wasn't recommending 100. I was thinking of 5 and 5. But anyway, that's up to you totally. I'm just thinking there have been times in my life, most of my life, where coming up with $1,000 all at once.
I know. But I think the 5 and 5 is a good idea, and yeah, I think we can say that we can do that. But we've got to get up to enough people that I know that it's going to financially work, because like I said, every bit of half of the fee, probably more, will go to the bash itself, and the other part will go to the dental and medical stuff. So
anyhow, that's it for me. Take care.
Roger.
I'm not leaving the chat. I'm just gonna
Yeah.
Mute my mic.
Thanks, Roger. And yeah, hey Ben, how you doing, buddy? Thank you for jumping in this evening.
How you doing?
I'm good.
So I got something interesting that I want to share with you real quick. Over on John's thing on Discord, somebody shared a Twitter link that had a download to a 48-page docket against the Trump Organization, against Trump and his children. And I've been reading that thing all week. I'm on page 13 right now. So far, from what I've read, I don't think he's getting out of this one.
Well, can you Ben? Do you have enough details to share? I mean.
It's the docket about the case yesterday that the judge basically said he wouldn't put into arbitration. The world needs to see. Fuck you. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's a pyramid scheme. They had people who donated thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, guaranteed to get money back on interest by the Trump Foundation, and they can't do it.
It's
and they
asked the judge
to hide this case on the public.
It's a Madoff?
Yes. And basically he said you're not present, you cannot be protected at this time. Fuck you.
And what court is this in?
I forget where, but the reports are Trump's actually terrified of this one because it could take him down for real.
It's
not to protect him from this.
I believe it's in the Fifth Court of Appeals in New York.
So it's New York State Court.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'll bet you Steve in New York could even find that.
Bye-bye, Donnie.
There's no such thing as the Fifth. I don't know what that Fifth Court of Appeals. There is something called the Fifth Judicial Department, but there's only four divisions of the appellate court in New York.
But I'll tell you what. Let me go grab it real quick and double check because it's on the first page. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I just got to say this is fine entertainment. Going from pot liquors all the way to chicken and what was the other thing?
Boiling nipples.
There were boiled nipples earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boiled nipples, yeah.
We haven't gotten around to shiny honey yet.
Can we throw in some can we throw in some butt rubs for good measure?
Butt rubs and shiny honey, man, I'm telling you.
There you go.
And you know what? That's another thing with the horn in. There will be lots of rubbed butt.
Okay, there you go.
And so what goes better with a bunch of rubbed butt with a bunch of horny people?
Yes, okay, there.
And a lot of shiny honey.
A lot of shiny honey is because you're rubbing all that butt.
Do I need to bring more unicorn poop candy to this thing, Robin?
I would, Megan.
Yes, Megan.
Yeah,
Megan, I'd stock up big time, baby.
Oh, and by the way, I don't know exactly how we would make this work out, but Ralph's just said something really, really sweet. She said, I won't be able to come to the horn end, but I can contribute to someone's effort to get there. So,
well, ain't that sweet?
That's just a sweet. Well, Ralph's
see,
is an
that's
angel.
That's what family is, and that's what this horn family is. If one can't go, step up and help somebody else go.
And you know, maybe
and that's the way we help each other.
Maybe
and
we
that's
can
the way you help Robin.
You know, maybe we can Facebook Live or Periscope, some of the proceedings. I think that'd be fun, like for the live front porch. I think that'd be a blast. And
Robin?
Yes.
Okay, I found the first page, and this is what it says at the top of the page. It says, United States Circuit Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, New York State.
Yeah, no, that's not New York State. That's
federal
court.
Yeah.
That's federal court. It's probably... It's located in New York. The Second Circuit is in New York City.
So it's basically an appeal of a ruling from a district court judge.
I don't know. It could very well be that the state court certified
a question. Yeah, that's true too.
And I don't mean to get oogly there, but or to get in the weeds.
Steve. We like that here. Get in the weeds.
No, I mean, I would have to. What I would ask you to do, there should be a case number there, or put who the parties are, and I can find it. I can find any of the. Robin, I've told you. Just a sec, Robin. I have a Pacer account, so if you need shit, just tell me. I'll download it for you.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Steve?
Yeah, that's Steve. Or this is Steve.
Steve, it says docket numbers 20-1228-CV/.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, gotta go slow with this stuff.
Yeah. Just take a photo, a picture if you can, and put it in the chat.
Yeah.
I think now we're all just waiting for the photo to be taken and uploaded.
Waiting with bated breath. An observation. Sooner or later, even the weaseliest of folks runs out of weasel moves. And maybe this is the handwriting on the wall for Mr. Chump.
Well, there's only so much browbeating and paying people off that he can do at this point. He's just pissed off too many people, and now they're just fed up with him.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's right, Megan.
He's got no other moves in his arsenal.
This is a burn notice, but he's probably a little worried now because he didn't get the rulings he wanted out of the Supreme Court, and he expected his justices to do his bidding, you know, Ann's boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh and Amy COVID Barrett. And in some instances they haven't, but he still thinks that this could somehow wind up in the lap of the Supreme Court and they'll save his ass. That's called, you know, that's addict behavior is what that is. Ask anybody who's got some expertise in dealing with addiction. They will tell you that an addict gets to a point where they engage in what's called magical thinking. You know, there's no rational way to think everything's going to be all right, but magical thinking tells you that it will. And
hey, Robin,
and he's a speed freak. He's an Adderall junkie. And he's probably there. Remember, Noel Kassler has been telling us for years that he's watched him, you know, snort rails as long as the Transcontinental Railroad from way back during The Apprentice. Chris has his hand up. Hey, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in on that shiny hiney, and you know, I was gonna I was gonna go to Hobby Lobby and try and sell them shiny hiney and tell them Jeebus used it after the Last Supper.
I was just, you know, that's a great idea, Chris. I was hoping somebody would see that wonderful old piece from the early days of Saturday Night Live where Father Guido Sarducci talked about buying the tab for the last brunch. He said that I didn't have the money for the Last Supper check, but I got the last brunch. Yes, because apparently the Green family, in addition to being skeevy and theocratic and just generally awful, are pretty fucking stupid. They will buy anything if we found this in the sands. Look, I mean, you know, look, hey, this is the very stone that Indiana Jones used to open the Lost Ark.
The Staff of Ra.
Yes, the Staff of Ra to the Well of Souls. Hey, buddy, you want to buy a tablet?
I have the actual Allen wrench that was used to screw Jesus onto the cross. And it can be Trump, yours.
Can Trump just pick the prettiest cup to drink out of?
Yeah, do please. But the Allen wrench.
Choose wisely are not two words I associate with Donald Trump. I mean, come on.
He would choose gaudy. I mean, you know, look at the way Trump Towers, his nasty little penthouse in Trump Towers decorated. Ugh.
Robin?
Yes?
Yeah, he isn't too happy either because he just got hit today with the other part of his scheme. He's, you know, he's still trying to get his taxes not to be seen, but now they said no. Congress can see them.
Yeah, how about that? See what happens when you have a different OLC.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice? Hell yes, we want to see your taxes. It says shall see. Shall turn over your taxes.
Shall
turn over your taxes. Yeah, not maybe. So it took all this time to get ready.
I won't.
To get them.
Yeah.
We're going to get them. In more ways than one.
Steve, do you have some insight on this docket?
I've not read what that is that's an opinion. It looks like I haven't read it. It looks like it's opinion is 33 pages long. I posted a link to the decision. I haven't read it. It looks to me like it's some sort of RICO claim, because that's what 18 USC 1960
yes
62 is. But it looks like. It looks like it's under – I mean, it's all kinds of shit. There's California law, Maryland, Pennsylvania. But it's very, very long, and it will –
That Rico, he's really messed up.
By the way, the term docket, all that is a listing of the various documents associated with the case. That's all that means. When you look at something like that, the important thing – to look at is let me take a look here. You look at the where it says CV. That doesn't mean curriculum vitae. What you look at is the let's see here.
Good for you and your proper use of that of that Latin consonant, your proper pronunciation.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little for that.
Yeah, case. Okay, this is what it is. You have a case number under in the district court, which is the trial court. Then you'll have what happens is the appellate court, once you appeal, will assign its own case number. And what it says there is it looks like it's 20-1220, and it looks to me like it's on appeal from the lower court case, which was the one that had it's hard for me to say. Well, docket numbers 1228 CV. I just can't. I don't. It's not clear what. It's not clear. Meaning I can't see it very well on my phone because I took a photo off the screen. But I don't. I don't know what it says.
Does it? I mean, can you tell Steve? Does it look like it's coming up from a federal or a state?
Oh. Well, it said, let me see here. Does it say they're certifying? Well, let's, hold on. If it's an arbitration,
well, I could read the numbers.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
It says the plaintiffs brought a putative class action in the Southern District. So it looks to me like it's, out of the Southern District, but it involves RICO and California statutes, Maryland law, Pennsylvania law, and some common law stuff.
So what's interesting out of that, at least to me, Steve, is the fact that there's a reference to RICO, because RICO comes with forfeiture.
Yeah, it says 19, and I checked out 18 USC 1962 when it talks in there about the racketeering, et cetera.
Yeah, that's the Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act. That's the act that's usually used to take down mob organizations.
Oh, shit.
Hi, Donnie.
I don't know what the multi-level marketing must have been. This thing, ACN.
Yeah, my guess is it's a decision that to approve the certification of a class action on these theories of recovery.
No, that's not what it was it, apparently there was a 12B6 the Trump et cetera moved to dismiss, saying that there's no claim, and they were trying to compel arbitration, but the court looks just upon reading said the other part, the plaintiff were not party to the arbitration agreement, and therefore they said no. We're not going to compel arbitration, and they tried to argue some sort of equitable estoppel.
Holy shit, that's some throw something at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk on that one. Yeah, right.
Constructive estoppel contract.
Yeah. There you go.
When the, I mean, that's some multi-level pettifogging right there.
Can I just tell you, Robin, I actually saw somebody say, and it, what was it, an implied fraud case, which I thought...
How did you get out of law school?
Yeah, how did you... It was the honest... I can't tell you how many times I've read... I had a very good friend of mine. I love her to death. And she ran for judge.
Yeah, implied constructive estoppel.
Right. It's like implied intentional murder. She ran for judge. Yeah, yeah. That's something that only you and I as lawyers could, or only the lawyers in the room can appreciate. But she ran for in the primary for judge, and I thought, I love her to death, but Jesus Christ, I've worked with her on a couple cases, and she has no clue about the law. And I was like, I'm so glad she didn't get. But there's this company ACN. I don't know what ACN is. And that seems to be – that's ACN, whatever that is the company that – it's the multi-level marketing company. You know, but again, I haven't read any of this, so I'd have to go and read it and probably look at some of the background and figure out what does this say. And I mean, the fact that the circuit court heard it means that the lower court issued a final decision. Cause if it's not a final decision, you'll see a thing in there that, you'll see something listed in there that it's the appeal did not come from a final decision, which in federal court is extremely rare. And what that means is a final decision means is the case is over, and somebody appealed, because generally speaking in federal court, you know, you can't appeal something in the middle of a case before the entire thing is finished. But again, I would, you know, the link is in there, in the chat room. So if anybody wants to actually read the whole damn thing. Okay. It's long. It says it's 43 pages long, and I don't see that there's like attachments or anything. So in other words, they're not going to compel arbitration. So whatever this was, they're going to allow whoever to the Jane Doe, Luke Lowe, Richard Rowe, Mary Moe, Larry Moe, and Curly to.
And Shemp, don't forget Shemp.
Shemp to pursue the class action in court.
The parties that invested in the pyramid scheme.
Well, that sounds like that's part of the issue. Is the plaintiffs were not parties to an agreement that probably people had to. Sign an agreement with this ACN Opportunity LLC, and they said any claims had to be arbitrated. So apparently, these plaintiffs were not party to that agreement. I'm doing it based on a quick and dirty read.
Hey guys, quick question: is this completely separate from the Steve Bannon grift with the wall? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I have
just a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. Say if that happens. Okay. Because Bernie Madoff went to jail for how many years? Just on a Ponzi scheme.
Well, life
60.
Well, I mean, effectively life.
Oh, is yeah. Like 149.
Well, I mean, if this happens and they nail him with it, he's gone.
We don't look.
Well, these are civil. This is not criminal.
Yeah, you can't and look, you can't. You got to look at the particular statutes to figure out what exactly, you know, I don't know what relief that the plaintiffs are seeking. I mean, what do they want? Do they want money damages? Do they just want some sort of injunction, you know, stop doing this or start doing this or whatever? So you know, don't equate it to any case in the past. I am curious about what this ACN, where the fuck is it? Oh, here it is. It says ACN Opportunity LLC. I don't know what that is. I think that's his company.
Dr. Google should know.
It's a multi-level, North American-based multi-level marketing company providing telecom, energy, merchant services, and others. I mean, the bottom line is that Trump will put his fucking name on anything.
Oh, Jesus.
In other words, it's not...
Well, isn't that what some of the... Wasn't that what some of the meetings in Trump
Telecom, that's what it comes down to.
Wasn't that some of what the Trump administration is trying to get Donnie Jr. into prior to the election, trying to get him in the telecom business?
But this is different. This is just... And before... Listen. Robin has an opportunity to read this. I guess I could. I could, you know... Fall on my sword and read this shit. And the next time we have a front porch or sometime next week, talk about it. But don't, until you read what this actually is, don't assume that you know anything about it. And don't assume it's anything you've heard about. It might have been. My hunch is it wasn't, given what I was able to skim off of the appellate court decision. Did any of that make any sense?
Yes. No. I mean, it made sense. It made sense to me, Steve. Yeah. And I want to. Jack has had his hand up.
You're screwed up just as much as I am. So of course.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They took my brains out and scrambled them and poured them back in. It took them about 3 years, but. I want to go to Jack. But before I go to Jack, I've got a note responding to Scott in San Diego, from our buddy Suman in Arizona. Maggots turning a corner on COVID? No. Hate to disagree with Scott, Suman says. The maggots are digging in even though Delta is raging in Arizona. Here's a discussion on my daughter's school's Facebook. They're mowing down people who even suggest that kids should wear a mask in school. Note that the idiot maggot lady can't even spell moot. She spells it as M-U-T-E, mute. This, and then there's some idiot named Sarah Cooper Maggot who was handing out anti-mask and anti-vax flyers to parents 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to meet new teachers. I don't think they'll change even if their kids are hospitalized.
Well, could I just to my own defense, remember, if you've been around long enough, I used to be referred to as the eternal optimist.
That you did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I have learned... I've learned my lesson.
Because you ran headlong into the buzzsaw that is me, the little ray of sunshine.
Well, even more than that, it's reality-based reality. When it comes right down to it, they will not learn until they have learned, and even then, they'll have their hand up asking questions, which the answer to which is obvious.
Well, they'll be holding them up in front of the bleeding choir eternal.
Well, that too.
Anyway, Scott, that was way back in the before times.
I've been seeing, and I've even taken to using it. I love the way these little phrases enter into our popular conversation, our popular culture. Where does the before times come from? Is that Mad Max?
Yeah, I think so. I think it might be.
No, come no? from the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
That works.
And who cares? Isn't it great though?
Yeah, it works so well.
And let me say something about Scott. I've had my share of criticism or calling out of his eternal optimism, but I'm gonna actually push back a little bit on that and say, Scott, we need that. We need somebody who can say, you know, there was a time when.
Well, God knows I excel at that. I excel at that.
There was a time when, Rob, everybody, when the Republican Party was not crazy.
No, they were just mean.
Well, let me tell you something, Robin. I've been really thinking a lot about that, and I'm going to disagree with you. And I'm going to bring up the Eisenhower example, and I know you bring up certain other examples regarding him to show the opposite. However, there's something that we, as whatever we are, whether you're a Democrat, a liberal, progressive, whatever, remember that one of our Democratic liberal icons did one of the most disgusting, egregious things in American history when he put Japanese Americans.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know what? We have, and another.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Absolutely.
And another one of our Democratic icons dropped atomic weapons on civilian populations in Japan.
Absolutely.
So,
we're coming up on that anniversary again.
But I will say this: the thing about us versus them is we will acknowledge that and say yes, those are grave mistakes. Whereas the right wing won't.
No.
Oh, and guess what else is coming up on August 6th?
Sturgis.
Sturgis! Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. How ironic. Yeah. How absolutely ironic.
Back to the thoughts regarding the Republicans and Democrats back in the day. My father was he actually ran for the county board of supervisors in San Mateo County as a communist back in the very, very late 30s, early 40s, and would not have all put up with any of these Trumpanzees. And yet one of his good friends was a lawyer in Eureka, California, who was a diehard Republican. And I think he was a Republican even after his son went off to Russia. He worked for the CIA and defected to Russia. And my folks stayed friends because they were good, honest people just from a different philosophy.
Sure.
And the discussions could be had.
Roger, and let me ask you something. Oh, sorry. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize. I interrupted.
Bernard Mitchell was the name of the person who defected. But, you know, Dad was an Adlai Stevenson person. And Mitchell, his last name, was an Eisenhower person. But they could discuss the issues without getting off the wall to each other.
And you know what?
Today you can't even bring up a goddamn
anything
issue sitting
anything
at a
and
bar
that is,
stool.
Right, that's all the difference in the world right there.
And you know what? You know what, Roger? Both of those people would have been disgusted at what happened on January 6th.
Oh, it would have been unanimous.
Yes.
That these goddamn insurgent assholes that are trying to take down our country. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. They were assholes who tried to take down this country. And yet I have brought it up at my place I go, and I have been told that the people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th were doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, can I offer an explanation for that, please? And it is consistent with something that I've been arguing for a very long time. When the National Rifle Association decided to transform itself from an educational group teaching people about shooting sports and safe firearm handling into a political insurgency, this was their goal. They told America that it was dangerous and everybody needed a gun. They did that because their primary funding came from gun manufacturers, and they were just trying to market build. But they market built on a philosophy of actual opposition to peaceable civil governance. And so, you know, we talk about Rush Limbaugh and we talk about Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. The real godfather culprit in all of this is the NRA, who in the early 1970s did that transformation and began inculcating its membership that gun ownership was the absolute linchpin to freedom, and that and that government was corrupt, and that by and they emphasized over and over the notion out of the Second Amendment that, that they said the Second Amendment was, you know, in case the government ever becomes tyrannical, we can pick up our guns and we can overturn the government. If any left-leaning organization would have said that in the 40s, the 50s, or the 60s, they would have been brutally suppressed at the very idea of overturning the government. May I offer the court as Exhibit 1, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Okay? People went away. The American Indian movement was brutally suppressed. AIM. But the second, but the National Rifle Association, because IOKIYAR, the National Rifle Association gets away with it to the point that, you know, in the late 1990s, early aughts, you got Bernie freaking Sanders voting yes on a bill to give immunity from suit to gun manufacturers. And it bedevils people to this day. It bedevils the families still seeking justice for the little butchered bodies of Sandy Hook. The this notion that you would never have heard, Roger, down at the lodge, well, by God, you hear it now because the message has been drummed into people's heads for 50 years by the NRA. Oh, and by the way, I got huge thanks to send out to Joan. Thank you, Joan. I hope you're listening. Thank you so much. We are done with fundraising. It is, in fact, a community-made miracle.
Awesome.
And so much more. And, yay, I get to have health insurance for another month. Thank you all so very, very, very much. I cannot thank you enough. This is because I try to get everything else taken care of and then, you know, cross my fingers for health insurance. So thank you. Thank you all so much. And this, Ron and Raleigh wrote in and said, you're both wrong. The before time. And I'm so ashamed because this is a Star Trek reference and I should have known that. The before time is a reference to the 1966 Star Trek episode Miri, in which the Enterprise encounters a planet inhabited only by children due to a pandemic infecting and eventually killing all the adults. The children refer to the before time as the time when adults were present. In 2020, the phrase has come to mean the time before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, when people could freely associate and go to bars and parties. And, The usage quote is, in the before time, we had a buffet lunch every day. Now we just stare at each other over Zoom. Right. Ron, check me on this. Isn't that the one that actually featured the world-famous plaintiff's attorney, Melvin Belli? Wasn't he the angel that they summoned?
Yeah,
you're right.
And didn't it also feature little Billy Mumy?
Oh, he was in everything though.
Yeah, and I mean, wasn't he the original kid who sent people to the cornfield in the Twilight Zone?
Oh yeah.
Friendly angel, come to me.
Yes.
Summon Melvin.
Oh wow, there needs to be a cowbell with that. By the way, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And by the way, I got to know
Steve.
I got Steve.
Did you see that link that Bernadette posted?
Hey, Bernadette.
Who, me, Steve, or Steve from Georgistan?
Steve from New York.
I did not. Let me take a look.
It's about Trump cases. It's got that case listed.
And I've got a note. I got a note here from Matt in San Francisco. Okay, who's standing in a hurricane?
Oh, there it is. I'll take a look, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Respectful Republicans, Matt in San Francisco says, sorry, they've never been redeemable. They've always dabbled in otherism and have been trying to kill my kind for my entire life. They just used to be more subtle. They've never been honest brokers working toward progress. I give them no quarter. And I'm kind of, yeah, I'm where Matt is. And honestly...
Yeah.
Even in far more conservative times, that's where my family was. From the time that I was little, I was told, and my parents were not lying to me. Listen, Republicans want a two-class society, the very rich and the very poor. We are not very rich. We therefore have to protect what we have, and we do that by voting Democrat. And yeah. I mean, you mentioned Harry Truman dropping the bomb on Japan twice. There was no talking to my dad about that. There was no talking to him about it, because he said, I would not exist. He meant himself. You know. Because this lie, and it was a lie, was promulgated to the American people that we had to do it so that we wouldn't lose a million lives invading the home islands, when in point of fact, Japan had been suing for peace since spring of 1945. And that's fact. Nope, says Ron and Raleigh, that's not the Melvin Belli episode. Okay, thank you, Ron. Jeremy said, I'm pretty sure last season, 2021, of Star Trek Discovery mentions the before time as often as part of the plot line, not to spoil for others. Okay. Yeah, and Randy in PA confirms, no, the Miri episode was not the Friendly Angel episode. Okay. Melvin Belli, my God. That man was a rock star in his day. And I got an update here from Robert in Australia. Sydney under lockdown. I went to see my GP yesterday, general practitioner, to get some yearly paperwork filled out for the government. While there were cars on the road, there was no traffic, if that makes sense. I then had to drop the paperwork in at my local New South Wales Government Service Center. We're in a pandemic, we're in a lockdown, and I'm driving all over Sydney getting paperwork filled in for the government. Brilliant, huh? The service center is in the local shopping mall. It was spooky walking in, as I hadn't been there in 18 months. All the seating was gone. 90% of the shops were closed. Only the supermarkets and chemists, we'd call that a pharmacy, were operating. The person in front of me at the door couldn't get in, as they couldn't provide documentation with an address on it. You're not allowed to be more than 10 kilometers from where you live. I didn't go in. I just asked the guard at the door to take the form and hand it in, which he did. And I was masked and wearing gloves the whole time I was out. And then says, here's why, and let's hope I can play this audio and not be too crackly. I love these.
Hi, I'm Nicole Hockley.
No, that's an ad. So skip that. Yeah. Okay. And...
from zero COVID and being the envy of the world to being an experiment in... Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Many of you are wondering, how did we manage to go from zero COVID and being the envy of the world to being an experiment in what happens when the Delta variant rips through an unvaccinated population? Well, it wasn't easy. It took concerted effort between federal, state, and loco shitheads to undermine elimination, but we did it. So now you can enjoy your freedom. Freedom to fucking die or get long COVID. Yes, we know these endless lockdowns are hard for you, your family, your mental health, but they're hard for us too. We've had to put on pants twice this week to give presses, to make sure you keep thinking these lockdowns are caused by your freedom-hating premiers, rather than by us cocking up the two jobs we had, quarantine and vaccines. Let's take a look. Quarantine is our first line of defense against foreign parasites, like COVID and Katie Hopkins. It's also a federal responsibility, which is why our praying minister has been working hard to ask, what would Jesus do, instead of experts? Experts have been telling us that COVID is airborne.
It's airborne.
Which means the dumbest thing you can do is put healthy and infected people together breathing the same air and call it hotel quarantine. In Belgium, where they've stopped fucking around, it's now mandatory to install meters to warn venues of poor ventilation. Meanwhile, we haven't even updated our guidelines to recommend opening a fucking window or built the air-gapped quarantine facilities we've been told we need to stop airborne transmission. Queensland has one ready to go. Heck, even caravan parks would be better than our current system, but we said, nah.
Hotel Quarantine has a 99.9% success rate at keeping COVID out of the country, which is true if you count all travellers, even those without COVID who couldn't have brought it into the country anyway. Of course, the number that really counts is how many infected travellers result in a breach, and that's one for every 44 infected travellers. And with over 300 of those arriving monthly, that's seven breaches each month. Seven-star accommodation. You might think these breaches are just one cause of outbreaks like the one that's currently fucking Sydney sideways, but they're actually the cause. Genomic analysis of Melbourne's second wave shows 98% of all cases were caused by a single hotel breach. Remember that success rate we mentioned earlier? You have to marvel at how our prime marketer can spin a 98% fail into a 99% win. Hotel marketing. But don't worry, after a whole year of fingering our chin folds, we've finally agreed to fund two properly air-gapped quarantine facilities. It might take a while though. While you wait, get vaccinated. Vaccination is our second line of defence, and yep, we fisted this one up too. That's why other countries are over half vaccinated, while we're dead last in the OECD. Lucky it's not a race. Unlike Matthias getting the top job at the OECD so he could further delay climate action, which is definitely a race. So we picked up phones and scrambled jets to make sure he won it. But if you need us to pick up a phone to call Pfizer and ask for enough doses for all of you, you can eat a bag of dicks. Oh, and young people, watch this ad we made to scare you into getting a vaccine we failed to get you enough doses of. The vaccine troll-out. And now you know why we're in this shit show. So next time you feel the need to blame someone else for it, remember that that plays right into our sweaty little handshake grabbers. We love it when you peasants blame each other. It means we don't have to fix the actual causes of outbreaks and lockdowns, like our quarantine system, which is a reminder that in this pandemic, your fight is less against the sneaky virus than it is against our scapegoating, slackness and shit-faced smirk. Australian Government. Authorised by the Department for Shirking and Smirking and Jerking on Desks.
God, those people are geniuses.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert, in Australia, for sending that along. Robert, and you know, Robert, please stay safe. Please stay safe. And I know you're doing everything in your power to do so.
I'm pretty sure one of John's psycho fans told us early this morning that they're coming out of lockdown today or tomorrow, hopefully for real.
Well, there's another story I had earlier this evening. Flavio raised it with me. Robert might be able to give a little bit more input into it. But troops have been sent into Sydney. On Wednesday, Sydney extended a lockdown by a month until August 28th as cases there continued to rise. Despite those measures, New South Wales, the state where Sydney is located, is reporting 170 additional cases traced to a man who caught the virus but failed to self-isolate, according to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. The military's help is needed to enforce the restrictions because a small minority of people thought the rules didn't apply to them, New South Wales Police Minister David Elliott told Australia's Channel 9. Oh, Jesus. Apparently Randy Rhodes has contracted COVID even though she was vaccinated. She got it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's
double vax, they called it.
Can I just tell you something about Louisiana?
Sure.
They're up to 82 per 100,000.
Jesus.
That is fully 10 times the Northeast, over almost six times. Jesus Christ.
We're going backwards.
But you know what really scares me?
Oh, no, I got to interrupt. It did not have to be this way. And if that wasn't said ironically, I'm going to have a damn fit because I'm not going to have this in our conversation. Bill, I just saw in the typed chat room portion of this conversation, Bill Gates caused COVID.
I know.
No, that's a joke. That's a joke.
No. Chris,
he's serious,
Chris,
man.
He's been talking that trash all night.
20 times.
He's been talking that shit all night long, and I am not going to have it. It's bad enough I have to see this shit on social media. It is not going to happen in this community. Period.
He says he's joking.
Chris, It's been all night.
All right.
Time to ignore.
I've been battling him all night long. Me too. Beating him and kicking him.
Yeah.
I accidentally kicked Tim out by mistake, thinking it was this guy, man.
Yeah.
Man, and, I don't want to be a dick, but Jesus Christ, man. Leave your conspiracy theories at the door, you know?
Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Sometimes being a dick is okay. This is one of those times.
Huh?
Thanks, bro.
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, Steve.
John Ritterbo had to leave because of his maggot dick neighbor came back.
I saw that. I hope he's okay.
I hope that don't go in.
That's bad. And by the way, our buddy Mark in Florida passed along. Randy got the Moderna. I don't think it matters whether you're Moderna or Pfizer.
Nope.
Terrifying.
Let me tell you something. I got to tell you guys something. Tell you guys and gals something.
Thank you.
I heard, yes. You know, you're like my chick. You get this, right? You're my chick. And I'm on a mission to get you a really nice parasol. We just got to figure out the color. And do you remember, and I'm on a tangent here, and MASH had an episode where Klinger had a, like a Scarlett O'Hara dress.
Yes, please, don't.
We're going to do that just as kind of like some sort of whimsy, but I'm going to do it. Unless you tell me, Steve, shut the fuck up and don't. Okay, good. I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that? No.
We're gonna do that.
As pale as I am, I need a parasol the size of the planet. I mean, you know.
That's fine. And it's, you know what? There was a sign. I don't remember where it was, and everyone knows I listen to a lot of media around the world, and one of my favorite shows is out of the UK. And on July 19th, the UK lifted all of their restrictions. An epidemiologist in the UK said, or no, it was a New Zealand epidemiologist who said, if you want to produce the ideal conditions for variants to evolve, that's what you do. That's where we are. And I'll tell you, the thing that scares me the most about this.
Wait.
We were up to 200 plus thousand cases per day. I think it probably got close to 300,000 back in the January, February timeframe. That was before the vaccines became prevalent. I mean, even they're not as much as they should be, but more than they were. So those 300,000 cases were spread over a population of 330 million, roughly. We're talking 300,000 cases or more per day, spread over a population that is probably half or less than that, and concentrated in a certain region of the country. And at the end of summer. I'm wondering if Paul from Parts Unknown could chime in on what I'm saying. I don't. Maybe I'm all wet here, but when you describe it that way, at least as I hear it, this is fucking terrifying. This is more terrifying than it was at the worst point previously, because it's concentrated. Sorry. I know I'm the little ray of fucking sunshine here. But I I've said it a million times. I'm a numbers nerd. Numbers have, and trends and data has always fascinated the hell out of me. And when you look at it in front of your face and go, this is what it looks like. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this won't happen. But it strikes me that part of looking at this is thinking about the worst case scenario. I mean, please tell me that no, Steve, you're fucking
I'm not gonna do that.
No, because... Steve, you're right. We're back between 300 and 600 deaths a day. We were down from that quite considerably into maybe 100, maybe 150 a day for 3 or 4 months.
321. 321.
It was 597 yesterday.
I guess it probably depends on which. I mean, I use the New York Times, and probably depends on when they get their statistics each day. But we are at 71,000 cases a day. And remember what I said the other day, that we were at 4,063 cases on June 20th.
Yeah.
The hospitalized is going through the roof. The deaths, which weren't keeping up, are starting to tick up.
And to add, to add into this misery index, this is something Randy Radar has mentioned from time to time. Congress just bugged out and didn't do a damn thing about an eviction moratorium.
And when President Biden said, he said I would like to do this, but it's nice, you know, as much as I wish he could have, but it's nice to have a president who actually says, I don't have the authority to do something. Putting that aside, I mean, I'm very glad in New York it's extended longer than that, but...
And, you know, just over the course of the weekend, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be more of these stories of people who died wishing they'd taken the vaccine. And it's going to be, you know, X cases found here, X cases found there. Right now I'm looking at 6 passengers test positive for COVID-19 aboard a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Who in their right fucking minds gets on a cruise ship? What are you thinking?
And remember the deaths lagged about 2 weeks from infection.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Roger just said that exactly.
Even in the before times, if I can use that phrase again, getting on a cruise ship was a dicey proposition at best.
It's a petri dish.
Well, how many infections went through cruise ships before COVID ever came on the scene?
Oh God,
I mean
we were on the Live Boat cruise in what, 2011 maybe? And there were hand sanitizer stations all over the ship, because you can get real sick on a cruise real fast and then it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah.
Here's my thinking. If I want a free cruise to the destination of my choice, and even if they fill the Olympic sized pool with hand sanitizer, I wouldn't go.
Fucking A no. Remember, you know? this is where Nitwit Nero, remember he wouldn't let that one boat dock because he said, oh, that'll increase the, oh my God. Wait a minute. Guys and gals, are we really here? And you know what? We are. And I hope the fuck I'm wrong. I hope the fuck that I'm really not as good with numbers as I think I am. But I don't.
Steve, let me tie it all together for you. This is why going back to the gun thing, there's an acronym for the word fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, okay? These bozos and bozoettes are in their own fucking little magical thinking world. They're two-year-olds. I don't want to, and you can't make me. They don't see the big picture and that we are interconnected in this country, on this planet, in this state, in whatever city we're in. What we do or don't do affects other people.
Amen.
Yeah. And they don't give a shit.
And they've been,
no man
and,
is an
again,
island.
They have been taught not to give a shit. Let's be really clear about that. Yep. But let's end with a couple of more. This is right in line with what we're talking about. Another insurrectionist has been taken down. This particular guy is Glenn Allen Brooks from Huntington Beach, California. Let's remember, no offense, Billable Rick. Orange County, California is California's answer to Alabama.
Yeah. Offense taken.
Okay, thank you. Here. Thank you. Well, Glenn Allen Brooks, the FBI says, on or about January 30th, 2021, the FBI received an electronic tip from witness number one who stated that a member of his/her church prayer text group, Glenn Brooks, boasted of his active participation in the January 6, 2021 events at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Witness number one also stated that Brooks sent photos of his attendance at the Capitol to the church text group that included other people at the riots protest and a selfie photo of himself inside the Capitol, the special agent attested. Mm-hmm. And, so it's all nailed down, and his church prayer group turned him in. Maybe there's something to be said for them yet. Then, well, we missed out on another. There was another judge today who had about as much as he could stand, or she. The bad, really bad lawyer went into court and pissed and moaned at the judge about his client having to wear a mask. This then got the judge pissed, who actually yelled at the lawyer. And then finally, just because it got to get out of here, but this story comes out of Louisiana, Stan. I'm talking about Louisiana this evening.
Yeah.
There's a hairstylist from Louisiana, Stan, and she's an anti-vaxxer hairstylist, and a reporter by the name of David Benaud of CBS News said, I got a call from a woman who went to get her hair cut today. Her hairstylist is an anti-vaxxer but believes in and has long taken non-FDA-approved supplements. This woman, who's fully vaccinated, showed up wearing a mask. The stylist told her she didn't need it. The client said that she preferred to wear it. As the cut started, the stylist said, according to the client, that if she got sick with COVID and died, it was just her time to go. The stylist's sister is currently hospitalized with coronavirus, and she said she would join her there if she got sick with the disease. And that's when the person in the chair getting the haircut had about enough. And she said to the stylist, well, if you get sick, don't go to the hospital and don't take up a bed. And the stylist said, well, I feel like you're judging me. Well, yes. As a matter of fact, yes.
God damn right.
I feel like you're judging me. Robin, well, only because you're an Robin. Idiot, honey. God love you.
Robin, I got a text message from Jesus just now.
Yeah.
And Jesus asked me to ask you not to use the phrase nailed down, please.
Trigger warning. Sorry. Glenn in San Diego says, I offer the anti-vaxxers a free cruise, maybe to the bowels of Beelzebub's basement. Ooh, bowels of Beelzebub's basement. No. Well played, Glenn. Well played.
Beelzebub.
What was the mispronunciation the other night? And an update from Robert in Australia 2 weeks ago. I drove to the local testing center and had a cotton swab inserted into the back of my head. It came back negative for COVID, so it's just a cough. And yes, we have the army on the streets, but they're unarmed and patrolling with the police. It's basically to boost numbers. They're door knocking to check that people who have tested positive for COVID are at home and in isolation. And they're also checking that people out on the streets are wearing masks, have a legal reason for being out, and are staying within 5 kilometers of home. The main concern with having the army patrolling is that they may scare migrant communities who have fled war-torn parts of the world. Yeah. And apparently we don't have a way of... Well, never mind. But I hate seeing that drama going on in the Friday on the Front Porch chat.
Yeah, hey, Robin?
Yeah.
We got a serious problem with CV in the chat. Sparky Duck can only kick him from the voice chat, but he cannot kick him from the chat, and he is causing trouble in there.
Yeah, I know he is, and he's being a real turd. But
I've talked to Brother Deacon. This will be remedied by next week.
Okay.
Well, he better explain it to me how I can manipulate the link send him.
We'll try, Edget. We got this, Duncan.
Yeah. But anyway, I gotta get out of here. Okay. And remember, the front porch will miraculously transform into the back porch as soon as I'm gone and we're off air. Thank you. Thank you so very kindly to everybody who responded to the challenges on the table this evening. Thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island for making them. Thank you to Tracy for making hers. Thank you to Joey and Giraffe. Thank you all, and thank you to everyone who responded. Again, thank you to all of our subscribers via Patreon and PayPal. You are the reason this continues to exist. I know I say that all the time, but it remains true all the time. It's the only way we can have this, and I try to make it as manageable as possible. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky at the seat of honor at the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the Old Holler Tree. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Billions and billions of hours served. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. The Ake Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine. Use all your frontline defenses. We can't beat this until we get everybody vaccinated and we use all of our tools. Remember, Paul from Parts Unknown will be updating us. I hope to have that for Monday's broadcast. But wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry your hand sanitizer, take it with you everywhere you go, pocket or purse, use it liberally, wear gloves as necessary, wear your mask. We're back to it. We just are. Wear your mask. Maintain social distance between 15 and 20 feet. And, you know, that's all in your power, in your control. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, I feel like you're judging me, avoid that person like the plague. And for God's sakes, don't go to her for your hairdo, because she is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.